Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? This is Psychic Journeyman here at Psychic Journeyman Talk Radio. Here on Block Talk Radio, welcome to the show. Tonight is Free Angel Reading Roundtable Past Life Wednesday. So welcome to the show. Hey, it's great to have you here. We have some party in the queue and that kind of thing, and we'll get to you. I also want to bring my guest on. Bree, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good, and how are you?
I'm doing okay, I think, yeah. I think we've actually decided, I'm going great. It took a conference call to do it, but you know. Got to get all the angels together, and we all discuss it and said, no, let's focus on positive and say, yes, we're doing great. Sometimes I have a tendency to argue. I don't know if you do that with yours or not, but.
Oh, yeah.
So it can be kind of a crazy thing. So I was, I know it too. It's one of those situations you got to focus on the positive and everything be fine. It really will. I've seen this. But, that human side, you got to smack it down from time to time.
Yeah. Yeah.
You okay tonight?
Yeah, yeah. You'll probably hear my cat. He's acting up again, so.
So what's that mean? I'm acquiring a co-host?
Yeah.
I know. It's like every time we talk on the phone, he's right there.
Oh, I know. And I have to throw stuff to distract him sometimes, and sometimes it doesn't work, so.
You got to do what you got to do, right? Smackaroni. Yeah, I was sitting here going over the thing. I just thought I'd go do a couple commercials here before we get going on. Go visit straighttalk.com and check out the phones there. You can get you a nice plan. I actually got me a nice phone. It's a slider phone for $55. It was really cool. So check it out. I was looking at some things myself and trying to. There's a site. Sometimes it kind of direction a different way where it takes you to Walmart. And so I was there looking at it going, that's kind of crazy. I don't want to go there. Because the situation is, there doesn't seem to be that much selection. Maybe we should say that. Not to say anything, maybe it's one of those that are under construction, right? I was actually trying to find a number, but I said, best thing to do is just go to the web and find straighttalk.com, go in there, and there's a thing where it says phones and services and that kind of thing, and check it out. I think it's one of those things to be amazed with. I was. I mean, shoot, I got a phone and a service plan with unlimited everything for a month, for $55. So that was a great thing. I also found my other paper, too. It was. There was some people in the chat room where we were doing the thing yesterday, and they were sitting there going, you can send Bree one, but she still won't get no service. I said, well, thank you for your positive thinking.
We rarely get service here, and we get it in the windows. How weird is that? Like, in the middle of the house, there's no service, and then you have to go up to the window, and you get service.
That is weird. So I'm just saying, I just talked to my friend. She lives in Tennessee, and I used to live in Tennessee. And when you live in mountains and that kind of stuff, even the idea of having towers, you have a tendency not to get signals. And she said she's never had a problem with it. And it's the only phone she's ever gotten where she's never had problems. So you look at the situation, and I don't know. I think you should at least give it a try. before we discount everything.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I found the information on BrainSync, which if you want to give them a call, it's 1-800-444-7962. Or you can call them at 541 straight through, which is 541-488-7870. And it's www.brainsync.com. Brain, there's no dash or hyphen or nothing. It's just sync, S-Y-N-C. Okay? Give them a try. I actually have a couple of CDs of theirs, which is called... The Secret to Attracting Love. And it's a nice CD. It's a subliminal CD where it has little messages. And they actually have two tracks on there. One talks you through a meditation of relaxation to open up to the possibilities and situations. And it even gives you these little scenarios you can put into your mind of encounters with the one you want to be with. relationships, not just loving relationships, as romantic relationships, but all kinds of relationships, because they all matter, and they all have a tendency to affect everything and everyone. So take a look at those situations. You'll see what I'm talking about. Take a deep breath on that one. It was a lot to say in one word, one paragraph. Also, the situation, too, I was talking about HemiSync CDs, too, and I found the information on that. That's actually Monroe Products. That's HemiSync, H-E-M-I hyphen SYNC.com. And their number is 1-800-541-2488. Again, that number is 1-800-541-2488. Or you can call them straight through at 434-263-8692. We open Monday through Friday, 8:30 in the morning till 5 at the night. That's Eastern Time. If you want to fax them your information and your order, you can also fax them at 434-263-8699. And check the CDs out. They have CDs for anything and everything you can think of. I was actually looking for my catalog too. They actually had a section on cancer. They also had situations. They also got some new. From what I understand, they had some CDs in the situation I was trying to get a hold of. And the reason it is because instead of going through certain procedures on trying to get on, it's mind. Well, I don't want to say mind control, but it's the idea of using the mind and the brain. Using these CDs to actually overcome disabilities, too. Because they've actually had people who actually said they would never walk and all those kind of things. I started using these CDs and got some good results. How would you put it? They're on the mends. They're starting to get circulation and feeling in their feet and that kind of thing. So I was like, I got to check this out. I have gotten their recent catalog, so. And they're always coming out with new stuff. And I had a couple of stacks. I used to have HemiSync CDs. I used to have at least five or six of these things when I was in Colorado. And that's where I was actually my friend. I had a friend of mine who had a store up in Two Springs, but was just from my shop. She had a little bookstore and stuff in there. And I thought it was incredible. You could go in there and talk to people and read books, and she was a nice library where you want to, you could actually read the book. She didn't care. She was very open. Read the book, sit here and read the whole thing, because she always noticed that people who read the books and were really, really interested in a book, even after reading the whole thing, still bought it and took it home.
Hmm.
So it goes against the theory people talk about, well, if they read it, why would they want to take it home? Reference. Maybe the reason they're not going to buy it and take it home is because you're sitting there thinking negatively. So they're like, there's negativity. There's negative energy coming into the situation. Zip, 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 you know. So that was kind of incredible. But I used to go to her all the time. She was a real nice lady. I think I got one reading from her where I actually paid for it. And then from that time on, she never asked me for another dime. And she would just sit there and I'd be talking about situations. She goes, let's go consult the cards. And we go back there and I say, how much I owe you? And she goes, hey, you don't owe me nothing. We're friends. You can do a reading for me sometime.
she was nice.
She actually wanted to sell me her store. She goes, you got $300. That's what I'm going to my store for. I'm like, you know, something. I was even thinking of trying to manifest that too.
Either. Oh, wait. We can't hear you. Still can't hear you. You there? Oh, I think we lost him. Yeah, just hold on, everybody. I think we lost him. He's probably going to try... Well, hopefully he'll try something else. Get him back online.
Hello?
Hey, there you are.
Yeah, Skype cut me off. And I was sitting there, all of a sudden I heard that little drain, little water, it's like a little water drop. Doom, doom. And I was like, oh no, I got cut, they cut me off. Or no, it's bad, you know, the connection, lost the connection. Plus we're having trouble with the switchboard tonight too, because I was supposed to have a, they're supposed to, because actually what I did today was I had some extra money, so I went in there and brought us back up to Premium Plus. But for some reason, I have a switchboard that most people would have if they had a free show.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just, you have your little speakers and you have the thing where it says you hang your phone up, but we're supposed to have two other pieces on here where we can screen people, and then we can also put information as we're screening them, so whoever's working the switchboard can actually put the information there so the other person can see it. We don't have that. I don't understand why. Plus, it keeps telling me to go get premium, go get some premium features. I'm like, I already got premium. Plus, what the heck's up with this? I don't know. Maybe it's in transition because I paid for it today and I checked all the accounts and stuff and it went through.
Huh.
I'm lost here. I don't know what's up with that kind of crap. Anyway.
I thought I would take over the show for a while.
Is that what it was? Oh, now we find out the whole thing, don't we? Bree is, she's basically taken a mutiny and she's taken over. So, Bree, can you tell us, see, we talked about this yesterday, we were talking about Atlantis and you kind of had a little tough going blank with the situation and you said you were working on that. So, if I asked you today, what about that Atlantis information you picked up? Could you tell us?
Well,
deja vu.
Yeah, no, like I was, okay, there we go again. Sorry.
No, just take a deep breath. Just take a deep breath and then, you know, relax. It'll be fine.
Well, I was reading about this. I don't remember their names, but they said that they had like four sets of twins. Male twins that
mm-hmm.
was like had certain powers on it, and actually I was just reading up on this that there was like some scuba divers that went down and they seen like rock formations on where
uh-huh.
the Atlantis sunk at.
Right.
So I don't know.
No, I know what you're talking about because I saw the same thing. It was they had a shot. It was almost like a. They had a satellite shot, and they also had a shot from somebody who was down there itself, where you could actually see foundations and stuff under the water.
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Must be looking at the same site, because I had actually pulled it up, and I was looking at it myself, and I was like, it looks real muddy, but if you sort of look real close, you can see outlines of certain buildings and that kind of stuff. So it was kind of interesting in itself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so no, I know what you're talking about. Just like yesterday, help me out. No problem. We were talking about past lives, too. And this is what today is. We're doing past life readings. We're talking about past lives and the beneficial of this whole thing. Because a lot of people say, you know, I don't see the benefits of doing past readings and past life and that kind of stuff. And why should we even think about doing that? And I was like, you know, it's very important to go back and check out some of these things sometimes. Because sometimes when you do that, it just gives you insights of things that are happening in your life right now.
Yeah.
Because I've had some, for example, there was a lady, a girl who was 8 years old. She was scared to death of closets, scared to death of being confined. Couldn't figure out why, because she never had any traumas. She had never been hurt or any kind of sense of the word in this lifetime. So they did a past life regression with her. And in the process of doing this past life regression, they were going to a certain point in this lifetime, like hypnosis, of trying to help her find out what was causing this, right? And all of a sudden she went back as was doing hypnosis. She went back to the 1800s, early 1800s, where she was in that past life. She was buried alive in a coffin.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, but see, the point was, and what happened with the situation, her finding this out, and she realized it was a past life thing. So she was able to let go of it. And now she doesn't have that phobia anymore. So you see the importance of past lives of helping us to cope with things that were going on right now. You know, like situations you were talking about where things have been brought up about certain things happening in your life to cause, because of karma in past lives.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know, for some reason I got the word BS, but...
Yeah, that you did. Yeah.
So I just kind of like look at the situation and say, no. So we're going to talk past lives and anything. If you have any questions about that too, and you too, Bree, if you have any questions, that kind of thing, and want to check out some past lives, just ask. No problem.
Great.
Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and doing some reading. See what everybody is.
You're breaking up.
As we teach today.
I can't understand you a bit.
How about now?
There you go. Better.
Block Talk Radio keeps reading itself. Okay. As again, I actually have a mic too. I can switch to. Boy, that would be light. Yes, and everybody out there, if you want to check me out, as we're doing the show right now, you actually go to my website, www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com, and go to where it says, I think it's, what is it, Ustream Radio?
Radio Ustream?
Oh, okay, Radio Ustream. If you go there right now, you'll see me. We're live on video. I'll wave to it now to check it out, guys. And what you do is you go to that page. There'll be a screen there with a thing on it, with an arrow on it. Just push on the arrow, and you can see me live as we're doing the radio show right now. And you can hear and everything like that. And I think, yeah, you should be able to check it out. So go ahead and do that. Also, if you want to reach me for private readings, I actually have two numbers now. It's 740-601-9835, or you can contact me on my other number, which is 740-601-1057. Tonight we're doing readings and that kind of stuff. Give us a call in here, which is 667-219031. If you've just tuned in, this is, hi, I'm Psychic X Journeyman, and this is Psychic X Journeyman Talk Radio, and we're doing a lot of topics tonight on past lives, and we're actually doing past life readings and so, and also my co-host, Bree, she's here with us, and we're all going to turn... I'm going to learn a lot about past lives and also maybe even do a couple of past life readings because, to me, they're very insightful and you can learn a lot from them, too. So let's get to it. What do you say? She's not saying anything.
Yes.
She's preoccupied.
On chat. That's
oh, okay. No problem, then. No. Do you know, you're great at that. So don't let me, you know, if you're in the midst of doing something, you go right back to it. I just want everybody to know that I wasn't just talking about somebody who wasn't there. Bree, real person, trust me.
Maybe.
Right.
Oh, we can't hear you again. Are you there? Nope, we lost him again. Just keep holding on and we'll get him back on. Thank you. okay. It's taking longer than the last time. Hopefully he'll get through. Just keep holding on. Back at any time. All right, well, while we're waiting for him to come back on, if you go to www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com and you go to Radio Youthstream, you can see Journeyman live. If you guys want to come in and have your past life done or have any questions that you want answered, call 646-721-9031. Seems like we are still having troubles of getting him on, and hopefully he'll come on soon. It's taken him a while. Okay, we need him back because this is not my show. Hold on. All right. Well, I just heard from Donnie, and he had to restart his computer. He should be back on any second. Like I said, if you have questions or past lives, call 646-721-9031. If you want to see Donnie live, go to www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. And if you go to Radio on Ustream and you go to the video and you push play, and you'll be able to see him. He'll be back. Yeah, it's taken us longer, but again, yeah, we're still here. We're just waiting for Donnie. He lost his connection. He had to restart his computer, and we just need to hold on for a few more seconds. Well, I guess, okay, well, I'm having people in the chat room asking me questions about myself. I guess I could go ahead and do it. Dream, what part of the country do you live in? I live in Montana. How long have you been awake? I don't wake up until noon, so that's about 7 hours now. Okay, Serenity asked me if it was raining where I am. It's about snowing. Yeah, spring. Where has it gone? It's been just about snowing all day. It clear up, snow again. I am not good at this radio show, so if you guys just hold on, Donnie will be back.
Hello?
You're back.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Thank you.
Hey, no problem. It's one of those, didn't mean to put a lot of pressure on you and that kind of thing. Sorry about that.
No, you're fine. That's what I'm here for. I just got to be better at it.
You're good. It's just, it's one of those things where you're probably fantastic. You just got to get comfortable so it can all come out. I can feel it. Thank you again. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm good.
Well, it seems like you succeeded because we're still here.
Yep.
Here we go. So let's try this again and let's go do some readings. See what happens here. Here you code 406. 460. That's as far as we'll go. We won't give any more number out like that. But welcome to the show and how are you?
I'm wonderful, and I wasn't going to call in, but I got one of three letters tonight out of 75 people that I am accepted into the Missouri River Manor CNA class, and it came directly from the director of nursing. She wants me, and you and Bree were both right.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't surprise me any. But you seem surprised, just a little bit. How much faith? I just want you to believe me.
I was lying.
Oh, was you?
I was. I mean, how professional is that? You know, she's given me an interview, and then she said, here's a letter, one of three that go out tonight that I want you to work for me, and you have everything that we're looking for, and I just started crying. That's not professional.
Sure it is. It's called, you're being down to earth, and people like that.
So I guess I had to let you know that thank you very
no
much
problem.
For mentoring and pushing, and it'll be okays, and I was getting ready to go to a pretty bad place. So thank you, Bree.
You're welcome.
No problem. When did you get my bill?
Whatever. Hey, I have a job now, you know, so I don't care.
Okay.
You send it on in, and I just thank you. I can't thank you enough. I just think you're awesome, and I'm going to get off before I start crying again.
Well, you have a good night, and you're welcome, and...
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Night, Bree.
Night, hon.
Night. Well, there you go. Accuracy off the scale. And I feel like it's just one... How would you put this? I get the impression it's just one step to actually going up even higher than what she's at now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like, put it out there. We got to do that whole thing, and it's going to be a great situation. I think she's actually going to be calling us back and telling us about some other things that we knew were going to happen to her. It's just helping her get to have the faith in herself that we had in her. Now
oh,
she
yeah.
can go. Yeah, she's always helping people out. Now she's going to be able to do it on a grander scale, not just with people she's working with as inpatients and that kind of stuff, but I think she's going to be like an inspiration to the people who actually work there too as well. So.
Yes, I believe that too.
Mm-hmm. So, let's go to area code 803. Welcome to the show. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. How are you? What's your name?
This is Curtis. I'm calling from South Carolina.
Curtis, we've talked to you before, haven't we?
Yeah.
So how can we help you tonight?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I haven't gotten a past life reading before.
Hmm.
Might be interesting.
Well, the one thing I get you with you very quickly is the idea of being in 1895 of being a politician.
Okay.
It's like a contradiction to politics. Very direct and very honest.
Okay. Hello? Oh.
No, I'm here. I'm just focusing myself, you know?
Okay.
Because sometimes things come very quickly, sometimes they don't. Or they are in the midst of getting there. And everybody join us tonight, because this is actually one of the... We've actually usually only have two-hour shows tonight. And from now on, usually we're going to have three-hour shows. Unless we really get tired, and we don't want to do those anymore. But usually the show really picks up in the last hour, so I thought I'd extend it by another hour. So okay with you, Bree?
Yeah, yep.
I know you're a night bird too, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we was about to sing Kumbaya. What does that mean? What does Kumbaya mean? It must mean something.
It means asking crazy questions. I'm just kidding. You know, that's a good question. I have no idea.
I'm going to Google it later.
What's that?
So I'm going to Google it later.
That's kind of interesting you bring that up, because Kumbaya. I can't, for some reason, I can't place the song now, but I know it.
Kumbaya, mama, kumbaya.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Told you.
All right, kumbaya. Kumbaya. Y'all. Okay. Anyway. I don't know. I get the impression with you right now, with the idea of that kind of like something's going on where you get an impression of a lot of new beginnings for you this summer.
Okay.
What's going on in your life right now? I was getting this thing about something about a relationship.
I don't know. I'm kind of looking for one, I guess. I've been meditating. I'm gonna try to file for disability again. So.
Mm-hmm.
They got to back pay me. So before I could get a relationship, I have to have money to get my life together. You know.
So. No, I understand. Excuse me. I was just looking at the situation when I was saying this politician and being very straight and very honest. And I get the impression you're pretty much the same as you are then, as you are now. Would you agree?
Right.
So, you know, with the situation with his disability and that kind of stuff, you have a lot of people around you that are kind of like, I get the impression talking it down.
Yeah.
But I keep getting that.
I'm going to get it this time.
Right.
I feel it. I'm going to get it this time, and they got to back pay me. So.
Is this the third time?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I definitely see it coming, too. It's like I said before, new beginnings. Take the money, invest it. You don't know what to do with it. I'm just saying. That was the first thing I picked up on the whole thing of investing the money, but also investing it into yourself.
Yeah.
That was hard to say for some reason.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, I get 1897, politician. I keep getting the word Bobby. Bobby Edwards. I feel like there's more to there. I'm just trying to clarify it for you, okay?
Okay.
Because I keep getting a lot of things going on. But that's one thing. I got the first card that came out was New Beginnings.
All right.
New Beginnings, a spiritual understanding why you went through what you did, what's going on. I keep getting back problems?
No, leg problems. No back problem.
Okay, when you have leg problems, are we talking about numbness?
No, I hurt my leg. It's kind of like pain. I don't know. Balance.
With that kind of stuff coming up and everything, I would definitely sit there and wouldn't be surprised if some of those things do come up.
With back problems?
Yeah, it's like lower back, right in the area, right at the, you know, the upper legs.
Yeah.
Back of the upper legs.
Yeah, well, I had a blood clot in my leg a few weeks ago.
Okay.
No, I'm on the phone. Yeah, I'm back.
Lack of circulation there. And
yeah. Well, I got it. I drove back from D.C., and then it was hurting real bad, and I went to the hospital. They said I had a blood clot. So I got in a real bad car accident a few years ago. I know this is past life reasons, but do you see any women coming, any relationships, love coming?
I get the impression that there will be something coming along in the summer months after you get your disability. The thing I got with that whole situation is she's going to come to you before you really think you got your life together.
Okay.
But she's also a part of that whole thing too as well.
Have I met her yet or?
Yes, you have, but not the way you think. Okay?
Okay.
I won't leave you hanging. I'm just saying she's a past life experience. It's almost like the way it
comes
to me is that she's a past life wife.
All right, and I haven't met her in this life yet.
No, you have not.
Okay.
That was the whole thing. I was trying to get it out there. I was like, okay, make sure we clarify the whole thing first. And
okay.
That's exactly what I got with you was the ideal of, and there seems like there is a connection right in the 1897.
Okay.
Because it talks about focusing on intentions, and divine timing. Intentions determines the divine timing when you're ready to let down the resistance, and that's why I was telling you about the situation, that she's going to come in your life before you feel like you've got it together. But it's just a part of the plan, I guess you would say.
Okay, can you describe her?
No, I cannot.
Okay.
Because you have a bad habit of dwelling on it.
Well, is she pretty? Yeah.
Hold on, I forgot to drop my mic. Yeah, I kind of changed things around. I got my headset on, but I decided to go with a different. I decided to go with a different kind of mic and go with that situation and say, well, let's get a little clearer connection and stuff like that and change things out. I've lost connection with Skype twice and I don't know why. And this in here seems to be a little bit better this time, so we're hoping it works out again. But it's also talking about the body care and the focus and stuff. And man,
okay.
Says you need exercise.
Yeah.
It's almost like you keep getting with you that you keep thinking about it. Even the idea of getting a plan in your head, but having a tough time following through with it.
Right.
So they're saying you need to focus on that too as well.
Okay.
See here. Well, it's one of those things that open up your circulation and that kind of stuff. I also get the impression you should also take some niacin too. That would kind of like help with the circulation too.
Okay.
Also decrease the chances of any more blood clots.
All right.
One thing I also was thinking too, focusing on this whole thing, is, like I said before, I seen a connection with 1897. That I almost get the impression this woman was your wife then, and she's coming up really quick.
Sounds good. Hello.
Oh no, I'm focusing as usual.
Oh, okay.
But like, you know, you got the one thing I got the most was body care, and that's the strongest point that came out. But I was sitting there looking at the situation and saying, new beginnings is the strong suit to here, but I keep getting summer months as we move into June. And, you know, it's one of those things that I feel like you're going to get some back pay, but they're saying to take a deep breath, look at it clearly, and invest that money, which they say invest in you. It's almost like that you want to do something with a business and you're focusing on it, not too sure, but...
Yeah.
Get the direction that this is definitely what she should do, and put it into that business.
Okay.
You might be struggling a little bit with some money, but
right.
that's not a long lasting thing.
Okay. It's called HLS and Technologies. Higher
right.
level status now. It'll be new age books for and stuff that I write. I've been wanting to do that for a few years now. I said I was going to do that.
So it's okay.
Okay. Well, sounds good. Well, thanks a lot. I won't take up no more of your time. Was that all you had to tell me, or did you have like one to tell me? I'd be like, oh.
With the situation I keep picking up on, what I would do is I would get the information and set up a private path like
mm-hmm.
I do.
Yeah.
I just tell people that, you know, it's one of those things. I know how things are going, and just call and give me an offer, and then we'll go from there, okay?
Okay.
Whatever you feel is fair enough, and we'll go that route, all right?
Okay, thanks a lot.
Oh, no problem.
Have a good one.
I'll call again, and thank you for calling tonight.
All right.
You have a great night.
You too.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
I'm just really focusing on a lot of things here. And it'll be okay. That's what they keep telling me anyway.
that it would be.
Yeah, so I was thinking about the other night where you're talking about name changings and stuff like that. I was like, Serenity. That fits you more than anything else. I think so anyway. I just feel like some of the things I've seen you do and the people you worked with, you brought a lot of serenity to other people's lives, so... You get a chance, pat yourself on the back, all right? That's an order. So So with everybody out there, we're doing past life readings today. So why don't you call in? The number is 646-721-9031. If you guys don't call, I'm going to start reading it faster and faster, and therefore you have to sit and figure it out. So with that notion, with 646-721-9031, try that one, okay? You might actually get your tongue a little tied and fall over down downstairs. We were talking about the idea of donations. Please donate to the show and to my Colorado Fund. I'm trying to get home, so help me get home. Also support the show and just keep this format going on. We're trying to go a little higher up in pro because pro is the highest that you can get here, but it's also a good setting to be on because it puts you in a format where you can do more. And the idea of doing more is the idea of having more people on the show. We've had two or three psychics on the show who just showed up. It's a heck of a format to have where people just show up, friends and that kind of thing. And if there's anybody out there who wants to call in right now, the number is 646-721-9031. You want to donate to the show? Donate to the Colorado Fund. That number is 740-601-9835 or 740-601-1057. Go to my website. If that's easier for you too, just go straight to the website. There's actually on the reading section, there's a place called Donations. You just click on that button and you're in there. And that website is www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. Again, that's www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. And thank you for all the people who have donated to the show and donated to the fund. Every dollar is appreciated, and thank you again. And as I always say, give love where love is given. And let's go back to the situation. We're talking about past life readings, and I've actually done the situation with the cards, too, where we would put the cards together and look at things within dreams and also picking up past lives with certain people and that kind of thing. I mean, for example, as I'm sitting here focusing on Bree, I feel like she was in a past life because it seemed like she has this thing about speed. And I don't know, it's almost like a jogging thing, running and that kind of stuff. But I feel like in a past life, I just keep getting 1913, you were a sprinter. And you went to school. I almost feel like in that past life too, there was a mishap and that kind of stuff of having problems with an accident with your legs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you know, we consider it, say, karma, but we could also say the idea of focusing and thinking, and it could be hereditary thinking. You know. But it's like tracing certain things that have a tendency to come with certain people. It's not a bad thing or a good thing. I don't really think it's karma. I just think it's, we have a tendency to carry memories and that kind of thing from previous lives that, depending on how much we think about them or focus on them, or don't, but they're still there resonating, they can affect this. They can also affect this lifetime too as well. I think it's impressive to go back and do sometimes with life readings because I've actually seen a lot of things with people and situations and even the death that they went through to help them understand that when they died, it was brief. And then a simple thing about being shot and that kind of stuff and knowing you're dead, there wasn't any pain with it. And that is really insightful to help people understand that in the midst of death, because a lot of people are scared to death to die. But I think when they do past lives and realize there's other lives and maybe more lives to come, it's not so scary anymore. It's just a transition from each one, and looking at the body as like a car. You trade one in for another, you know? Some of us don't have nothing to trade in, so we buy one flat out. But, then we have something that we call first-time experiences and situations like that. I mean, I had somebody come to me one time and said, hey, you know, how old are you? I said, well, I've been around since time began. And they go, what does that mean? Well, shoot, sounds pretty self-explanatory to me.
Right, yep.
I've been around before time began. Now, you have to understand one thing. Before the Earth and the universe was created, there was no time-space continuum. not in the sense that we know it, being in other dimensions, say with the angels, there is no end and no beginning, and no beginning and no now. It's all, it's just all. You know, how do you explain that? It's just like you exist. So therefore, like imagine you're sitting right here now, and all you'd have to do is think about the past, and you'd be there. Think about the future, you'd be there. And with the presence, you'd be there. It's that simple. There's no restrictions. So it's a different thing. I've actually done readings with like Archangel Michael, who I saw him with many, many people at the same time. So it's like walking into a room full of mirrors. And there's like all these, there's like thousands of you. But they're all really you, and you can be with many, many people, as many people as you want. Or you could sit there and look at the situation like being in a round table. You're in the middle, and all these people are around you. They all see you, don't they?
Yeah.
They all can. They can all experience you. They can all talk to you. There is no restrictions, really. There's none. So it kind of gives you an idea what it's all about. I was at a friend of mine said, what's it like to be a psychic? And I said, well, me personally, it's like seeing the past, the present, and the future at the same time and being able to comprehend them. And then focusing on you and other people and readings and that kind of stuff. So they're, you know, the ideal, like I was talking to Charlotte, she's like, I've never seen a person multitask like you are. You're doing all kinds of things. You're sitting there playing a game on the computer, talking to me, hearing every word I say, and then someone else is texting you and talking to you, and you're answering them and giving them a nice answer because it sounded like you really thought it out. And I'm like, okay. I'm just used to all this stuff going on at the same time. So therefore, you know, sometimes people do catch me off guard and go, hey. And so, oh, shoot, now I know. What was I thinking? You know, because now we have a third thing or a fourth thing in the mix, so it kind of makes you wonder. So this is it. I'm looking at, we have someone in the queue. So let's go and just do another reading. And like I said before, if there's anything popping up with anything comes with you, you know, with me, I know for a fact when I started doing the past life thing, it just happened. And I just, the more I started focusing on this, the more this just happened. So keep your mind open, man. You'd be amazed. I mean, when I first started doing this, I knew I was clairvoyant. I saw things, but all of a sudden it was more clairaudient and, you know, feeling and that and all that kind of stuff. And then running into ghosts and saying, hey, how you doing? You know, that kind of thing. It's a different.
Yeah.
It's different, but it's not like it is in Hollywood. I don't know if it's a pain or a curse. I'll get real. It's a gift. It's just the idea of learning how to use the whole thing and that kind of thing. Area code 407, you're on the air right now, and welcome to the show, and how are you?
Hi, thank you. I'm doing good. How are you?
I don't know. I haven't thought about it, but hey, thanks for asking.
See, I care.
There you go. And you sound very familiar. May we have your name?
Yeah, I've called you a few times before. My name's Michelle. I'm from Florida.
Michelle from Florida. Welcome.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome. With the situation, say hello to Bree, my co-host.
Hey, Bree, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Fabulous. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was just wondering if I could have a past life reading. I'm interested.
Okay, no problem. Just let me drink something here.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. Well, Michelle, you're from Florida?
Right.
How close are you to Daytona? I know I've probably asked this before.
You have. Very, very. Yeah, I remember you talking about the speedway and all that. Yeah, I'm very familiar with it. I live in Orlando.
Oh, okay, Orlando. Orlando, mm-hmm. Orlando. Every time I hear Orlando, I keep having flashbacks to Ghost, you know. There was a scene where Whoopi Goldberg was sitting there talking, and all the spirits started coming in after she started talking to Sam. And she just started getting kind of like nonchalant, like, Orlando, 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 are you there? You know?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, see, yeah, you remember?
yeah, I'd forgotten about that, but you brought it back, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, guys, I used to watch Ghost a lot. Don't tell anybody. So, all right. No, with the situation with you, I will sit here and say that what comes to me the quickest is your roots are very deep. You were very much in the culture. Does that make sense to you?
Very much of a culture?
Very much into culture.
Oh, yeah, very. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Tracing the roots back, are we?
Yeah, I'm starting that project.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll go back real quickly. You want to sit there and see though, a lot of characteristics with you? I actually got four past lives coming through real quickly. One's Ireland. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Now, the way it comes, it comes off as black immigrant. All right?
Okay.
Now, shit, hold up. I'm trying to get this thing. I got 1541. I get a black immigrant male. Wearing a freaking weird-looking straw hat. Sorry. Very intense. It's almost like a laborer right there. But there's like two, three. Like I said before, I got that one. I got 1918. I got 1363. And then 1819. So there's like a reversal of 1918 and 1819.
All
right.
Okay.
So there's a lot of things. So there's a four right there. Like I said, one was. I'm trying to focus on the one, okay? Because the one, the black immigrant actually comes up more about the early 19th century. But,
okay.
So when I sit here and pick about, when I sit here and focus on Ireland, Ireland comes up more female. Now they're kind of like separating themselves, let's put it that way. But there seemed like there was four very important lifetimes for you because of trying to find out more, because of this deep-rooted passion for culture and finding one's roots. For you, it seemed like you've been pulled toward that quite a bit in this lifetime too. It just seemed like things are coming together for you, where things are falling together quicker than they have been. I almost get the impression there's a lot of struggles in the past. Pull this all together. Does that make sense to you?
Yep. I'm very much into culture and languages and all that.
Right. So it's like, I guess when it comes to Ireland, there's a lot of, like I said, I was a female, headstrong. I guess most people say, well, yeah, of course, Irish and. But we're talking 1541 here. You could get headstrong, but to actually have a voice, now that was another thing. Some people
and wasn't the time and the place,
No, it wasn't. But see, you was in a small community. I keep getting, because I keep seeing a lot of, a real floppy dress, let's put it that way. A lot of
floppy dress. All right.
Yeah. A lot of layers. We'll put it like that. A lot of layers, that kind of thing. Flipping, flopping. Got some. You have a combination. Like, you have red hair, but it's more brown. Really curly, too. It's like. It's like. If you ever saw any pictures of the people back in the 1800s, when around the Civil War, the girls used to have these things. I call them roll curlers. Roll curls. That's where that's where the curl goes down.
Okay. Yeah.
So you have one long curl, so you don't have straight hair. It's a curl that goes down. You really had a. You liked to. I don't know if you do this now or not, but it seemed like you really play with your bangs a lot.
That I did what? I'm sorry.
You play with your bangs a lot.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it's true.
Right. So I just feel like that back then it was a lot of working with the hairs. Trying to describe this right, because it's like playing. It's like the hair that comes down with the ears, real straight down.
Like just a short, blunt thing.
No, so how do I put this? It's like having bangs, okay? And there's that long hairs. A lot of girls have a tendency to take the bangs, and they have a tendency to do a lot of things with them to get them to stay. But they're long. And sometimes people want to curl them up, and sometimes they don't. But they like to separate them out.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Do you get it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Okay. I don't, there's no real name for that, so okay, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, that's part of your Irish roots and stuff like that, and I just feel like you spend a lot of time by yourself. Hanging out in the fields, that kind of stuff. I feel like you're married, got three kids. You spend more time with your kids and very playful and that kind of thing. And sometimes people think you're like out there. But it's but it's like I don't know if this is something that sounds familiar to you as well. It's not the world, it's the community. Some people find you more down to earth and some people find that threatening. Because of their situation. So, you know, you seem to be more comfortable with yourself, which has a tendency to set people on ends too. But like you said before, it's more of a fear with themselves because of what they don't have to see it in somebody else. I'm wondering, okay, how would you put this? It's like having success is in certain things that happen in your life, but not paying the dues, as they call it.
Okay.
Okay, so that's kind of one of those things to follow through. It's a very positive connection with past lives. And then the other lifetimes are basically, as you go and progress through these other lifetimes, it's just trying to find, you're constantly being verbal and boastful, and you just have a tendency to, I still feel like each one of those lifetimes you've had a really easy time of attracting and manifesting things in your life, and people just kind of look at you like, as it's almost like saying there's something wrong with her or something not right. And but if you was in the same situation looking at these people, you're going, I can see where you'd say that because there's something missing with you. You know.
Yeah, that's totally how I think now. Yeah.
Right. So we see it, but they don't. And it's one of those things of coming through this life to be comfortable with it. That you are very intuitive and you see things before most people see it themselves, and they have a tendency to see you as a person that's more of a threat than an asset because of narrow-minded thinking.
Very much so, yeah. Wow. I think that's interesting that I was in Ireland because I like to travel and I like a lot of different cultures and all that, but I really have no interest in Ireland. I think that's kind of funny. That's like one of the last places I'm interested in, but okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you sit and look at the situation, and sometimes people have, you know, when you have this, a person who likes to travel a lot, and usually in this lifetime, usually probably had a lot of lifetimes in different places. And as you progress, because it's like going back, and you've got Egypt and times like that, and then we progress up forwards and go through each lifetime where you start seeing that these people really do a lot more traveling and that kind of stuff. And they just keep doing it every time because they would keep wanting to revisit those places. But there are some places that you feel completed, so you don't go there anymore.
Yeah, I've been there, done that. Okay.
Ireland, I was, put it bluntly, your husband really pissed you off.
Oh.
So, Ireland, I can understand why you wouldn't want to go back to Ireland because you just feel like the men there are arrogant.
Yeah, I'm done with that. Do you see me having a past life with Turkey or Greece, something like that?
Turkey and Greece.
Yeah, that
isn't that great?
Area over there.
Every time she says Turkey and Greece, I think of Thanksgiving. I don't know why. But
Ooh. Good point.
Yeah, so I was thinking, oh. But I was trying to say I see more of a visit. I keep getting connection to Poland and making visits to Turkey.
Oh.
Okay. I see that kind of connection. Now, with Greece, I do feel like I see a lot of Romans.
Romans?
Yes, Romans.
Okay, the people. Okay, that makes sense, too.
Yeah, I see a lot of Romans, a lot of things, a lot of... I feel like that... I'm thinking.
Okay.
I keep getting 326 BC.
Oh, wow.
I get the impression you were a builder. I feel like a lot of technology that Rome and Greece had, that you had a lot to do with those theories.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that the idea of the, you see how they make the doorways, how they do the bricks and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that what the theory behind that is, the way they do that is, as those blocks are placed, it takes pressure off the rest. It takes pressure on themselves, so therefore it relieves the stress of any kind of doorways coming down your head. So if you actually see a lot of these structures, you notice the doorways stand will probably be standing a whole lot longer than the columns themselves. So.
Yeah, that's true. They're with the physics of that, they're built stronger, right?
I don't know. I just, to me, it just comes to me as a person who had theory and geometry and stuff like that.
Hmm.
There's also a connection to you. I can see the building, but I need some more input because I'm just there's a building, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is in Greece. There's a building, and the floor has three huge stone slabs that weigh about 365,000 tons each piece. For some reason, I keep focusing, and those keep coming up, as you had something to do with putting them in place.
Slabs in the floor?
There's slabs in the floor. I wish I could get to. I just saw this on the Discovery Channel. I saw this, and I'm seeing it in my head. I'm saying that I connect with these slabs. I also see the technology behind it that you and three other people came up with to put these slabs in. It seems like the slabs are put in for a reason because of the stones themselves.
Oh wow!
Yes, we also get also a very strong tie with Atlantis. Of actually having technology and it's almost like the impression. You can take this way you want, but it seems like that you were considered a god.
Okay.
Well, what that means is that you had there's a lot of influence of Atlantis. I was sitting here talking about this before, where I sit here and focus on this situation where I see connections to Atlantis of having technology. But intermingling with these people. Okay?
Okay.
Let me think this. I did a reading for a couple of people that were from Atlantis that settled in Egypt and were most basically the people who motivated the Egyptians to create the culture they did by intersecting in that culture. Okay?
Okay.
So we have those people intersecting there. We also have you who also seem to be coming from far, far away, and you seem like you were missing a lot of people, and like you have to give up a lot of things, and you don't like doing that. The idea of giving up friends and moving on really sits with you, and you really have a hard time. That's one of the things, connections and stuff like that.
Huh.
I really feel like you've had a sense that there's something a lot behind you. Like you've let go, like you've had to let go of a lot of people that you really cared about.
That's very true. I've made some major moves and had to do that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like one of those things. I look at the situation here, working with these people, and you know, intersecting, and really not wanting them to know who you were. But at the same time, you decided to really intersect in the culture itself with the technology you knew. It's almost like a lot of meditational, telepathical training. Okay, where you sit there and put these slabs into place. Really, seriously, what a kid. You had a way of coming up with these elaborate structures that looked like they might actually lift these really heavy blocks when it was actually done mentally.
Wow.
Yeah,
cool.
So you covered your tracks. I seen this too. We saw this last night. I was talking about Khufu, the one who was supposed to have actually built the Great Pyramid. And I always Yeah, I love how they put it, because if you sit and really look at the history and stuff, that's exactly what they say. They always say Khufu was the one, we believe, that actually built the pyramid. Now, why didn't they say that we feel like he was behind the building of the Great Pyramid? Why did they say he was the one who built the Great Pyramid? I always listen to everybody, what they say, and what the history and the stuff they come up with. Now, I did a show on this. I used to have a morning show called The Missing Spiritual Link. That's what we've been doing on Tuesdays. It's called The Missing Spiritual Link Tuesday. where we talk about Atlantis. And what I got in that whole situation was it was just all these things about how things fall into place and that kind of stuff. And the thing with Khufu was one of the last of the Atlanteans. It was one that we actually call him, I call him one of the last, the six, because I've always picked up on six Atlanteans showing up in Egypt. And this is kind of funny, too. If you do the history, you'll find out that the Egyptians were basically wandering in the desert for years. All of a sudden, something was intersected in their culture, and they decided to build these great, you know, these great monuments and stuff, and decided to, I guess you could say, settle down and create a great empire. Why? Why was a band of people just wandering in the desert, and they were cool with that? All of a sudden, they changed their whole course and stuff.
Right.
And when I started to focus on it in a meditation, I got that Khufu was actually, he did build a great pyramid with his telepathic abilities of levitation and those kind of things. And it came to me, when people levitate and they do these things, what they're actually doing is they're not lifting a great stone as a great weight if they do it right. What they're actually doing is they're reversing gravity. So therefore, the block doesn't have the weight. And you can move it into place, but it's still a telepathic thing they do mentally. They've learned to take that, and you make the block itself lighter, so it makes it easier for you to mentally put it into place. And I did a bunch of past readings where I always saw these guys kicking, as in, you could see the Great Pyramid, and there was a couple of spots where I actually saw the Great Pyramid getting bigger. But I never saw these guys, I never saw anybody actually with ropes and that kind of stuff, pulling these blocks into place. It's almost like you're watching the building from far away, and you see it keep getting bigger and bigger, but you don't see anybody putting these things into place. Okay, so I saw these people working on this thing and chiseling these blocks, and there's actually a great temple that was actually across from the Great Pyramid too, and I saw them working on that, but I never saw anybody in any kind of past lives working on the Great Pyramid itself. And then it came to me that Khufu actually did build the Great Pyramid, got a little arrogant about the whole thing. I mean, end up having an aneurysm and busting a blood vessel in his brain. Right around the there's a gland in your brain that they say if you meditate, it stimulates it to actually, you know, telepathic powers and psychic and that kind of stuff. It seems like it stimulates those, where it's more able to do those by meditation. So he had an aneurysm around that same spot, busted a blood vessel and died. Because people say, well, he had sons. How come the sons couldn't do what he did? Because he never really had the time to pass on his gifts to his sons and how to use them, because he died too soon. And if you ever sit there and study the culture too, Khufu, you really can't find anything about him. It's almost like the Egyptian culture wanted him to disappear,
wiped him out.
Right, and we always sit there and this is a proven fact that whoever wins the war, whoever's the winner in history, is the one who writes the history.
That's very true.
Yeah, so we sit here and look at the situation and stuff, and it was just so incredible. So, you know, I get the impression that I just feel like you're a part of Rome and Greece and the whole thing about their culture and being a part of the whole foundation there. And it was, you know, it's one of those things where, because I get the connection between the two. I see the six and people that intersect in the Egyptian culture and then these other ones, and they're always building these great things. And it's kind of crazy. I just looked at the situation going, you know. Now, scientists will dispute some of these things, saying, well, the reason they went through many drafts to build a pyramid. And I think it was the ideal that it wasn't many drafts. I think it was the ideal of trying to figure out how to do it in a telepathic way, of basically coming up with the designs and stuff, and then taking it one step further to put those things together mentally and thinking about it, and levitation and that kind of stuff.
Cool.
So that's the thing I get. With that whole thing, okay, but I wish I could find more information about it. But there's a cathedral. Well, it wasn't a cathedral, but it's one of those buildings in Greece that they were talking about with those great slabs on the floor. They weigh about 365,000 tons apiece, and they were, you know, the first question that goes to your head: why would you do that? Because you could.
Because you could. Okay.
Right. You were just, no, think about this. You leave your culture in Atlantis, and there are certain things that kind of disappear, but at the same time, you want to go off and you see these people struggling, and you have these abilities and stuff, and you want to help them, but at the same time, you want to sit there and keep it under wraps. And doesn't it sound like Marvel Comics? Anyway. But I'm just saying, you know, every time you see anything in history and you see anything going on around you right now, you can really look at the whole things and trace the roots back to some origin of kind of things like that. Because the first thing I got with you was the Romans and the Greeks looking at you like they would look at their Olympia gods and that kind of thing, because of the ideal of your great knowledge and your great intellect. But you had some powers that was kind of a little bit more than that too.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
No more. It's exhausting on those, really. That's another.
Yeah. Well, that was really great. I didn't expect all that.
So if you sit here and look at the situation of coming from a culture with that kind of strength and this kind of, I don't know, just that strength that you have with that whole thing of coming from Atlantis and wanting to really build something, and then you get to these other lifetimes where you're just like, I'm sorry, where I'm from, women and men are not considered equal. They just are. You know? There's no consideration to say, okay, this is what it is. I mean, we have a lot of stories about Atlantis and being warlike and this kind of stuff and blah, 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 blah. When you actually get down to the root of the whole thing, it was a very peaceful country, a very peaceful thing, a culture, a civilization. Now, when you intersect other alien races and stuff into it, which we've actually traced down, the DNA does exist and is there and that kind of stuff. I mean, look at our culture now. You have people that are in office and certain things like that are very warlike, and then you have other people who are not.
Yeah, that's very, very true.
So you can definitely see the difference. So the idea of saying that the idea of these things were not intersected into our DNA and into the human culture, then you're not really looking at reality. And I was telling people about this, about Atlantis, and I was like, I said, picture this, guys. You know, we had pictures and stuff, and they showed the big, great palace, and they showed the canals coming in and that kind of stuff. If you look off to one of the pictures that I put on the show page, you'll see that there's waterways going in, but there's also bridges. Now, where are the bridges going?
That's a good question. If you're in the water,
why would you have bridges to go if you're not going anywhere? So it's like looking at the situation of Atlantis being in the Mediterranean, and that was your main palace. Then we have this great continent, which is actually a little bit off to the side in between Africa and North America. Okay? So I'm not saying this great continent didn't have anything to do with Atlantis. It just gives you an ideal that if you have the main palace in the Mediterranean and it kind of spread out more down toward this continent, because this continent was just wide open. But there's other cultures, you know. There's, at the same time, and this was another thing we brought up too, when we're talking about 11,000 years before Plato, you're actually almost right before an ice age. And then they're talking about great masses of elephants and that kind of stuff. But when you really get deep into the subject, you start realizing that people would describe them as elephants because of the trunks and that kind of stuff, but they were 10 times bigger. So now we're going to get into the situation where they're actually mastodons and mammoths, woolly mammoths.
Okay. Right, from the ice.
Because I was sitting there talking to somebody, I said, think about this. If you read those texts, it's talking about the great masses of elephants, which we now have found out that they're actually mastodons and mammoths. Now, up in Iceland, they've actually found mammoths and woolly mammoths and mastodons and that kind of stuff, and frozen in the ice and that kind of stuff. Now, if you take a look at that era that I saw with Atlantis, there was no ice caps on Iceland. It was actually a landmass, without snow and ice and all that kind of stuff. What they were saying with the way these elephants were frozen, it was instant. It wasn't something that gradually happened where we have a change in the climate gradually. It happened like in seconds, which froze these things and froze them just right then and there. So the temperature rose and fell about 200 degrees real quickly to do something like that. But you can see the evidence of things. That's why they were frozen, almost preserved.
Well, yeah, actually, you're right. That's why that would make sense that the bones are still intact then.
Everybody's like, okay, how did this get off on this subject? Huh? No, sorry.
Yeah, okay.
No, you're saying, because these are... See, when we find dinosaurs, they're petrified. You know, they're actually rock. What's happening there is in the process of decay. What happened was we have mud and water and that kind of stuff, which actually came into the things. And as these things are decaying,
it's being replaced by dirt and mud, which basically replaces the whole thing. And then what happens is it just kind of preserves it. So when you dig these things up, when you're actually seeing the bones and stuff at the cemetery, when you see the bones and stuff at museums, that's what they had to paint. They have this certain substance they put on these things because they're just the mineral's been replaced. The bone has been replaced with minerals. So it's still okay.
Right.
Now, but when the mammoths and these mastodons were found, they were bone. But the thing about it was they were found where it's like Egyptians. When we find Egyptians in their tombs, the skin and everything else is still intact. What has happened is basically what you're looking at is freeze-dried, where the moisture has been taken out of these things. Well, when they found mastodons, they were like that, but they still had the
moisture
water.
Content?
Yes. There you go. Thank you. They had the water content still inside of them because they froze just right there. So it's not like dinosaurs that are actually, everything's been replaced by minerals. These are actually what we're seeing, these things as they died. But what's so funny about the things is the reason they thought they could actually bring a couple of these suckers back to life because of the way they were frozen into the ice. They looked just
really?
Like they looked just like they did when they were then. They still have hair.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And the reason we were talking about this, because I think this lady we're talking to actually had a pet mastodon. I'm just saying, guys,
that's
think about it. We have these massive elephants. We train elephants to this day. So the idea of saying it's not impossible, we're thinking because since they're so huge, that maybe they're like dinosaurs and they couldn't be trained. But we can't even prove that dinosaurs didn't have. Right now there's a theory now that maybe since they were a certain type of reptile, they might have been actually warm-blooded because of the way they used to move around.
Oh.
They've actually traced some of these footprints of these dinosaurs as moving between 35 to 40 miles per hour.
Oh.
For an animal who's 40 feet tall, weighing about, you know, so many tons, to move that fast, it's kind of hard
it's
to see.
It's pretty impressive.
Right. So when you look at this sucker, you can't really say, is it cold-blooded? That's a hell of a structure.
Oh, good point, yeah.
Wow. I think it's about the most exhausting reading I've ever done.
From how many centuries, right?
Yeah, because it was like we went from 1800s back to, you know, boom, hello, how you doing? And next thing you know, we're...
Beginning of time.
Right. Because people, you know, really think about the whole thing about how history is and how history is supposed to be. The Ice Age is around that same area where we have a thing coming in. Because I was telling people on the air, it was basically like this. You know, we look at Atlantis, and we're thinking that maybe some kind of catastrophe took it out. When there was a lot, you know, because they're saying, oh, it's bad, isn't it? And then Atlanteans were a little bad people, and zap, zap, okay, whatever. I still looked at the situation of saying there was a lot of things going on with the Earth at that time. There was still a lot of settling and that kind of thing, and you have ice ages and just certain things going on. And plus, like I said before, you see that Iceland has no ice cap. It's a dirt, you know, it's a continent with no ice on it. And there's actually been maps found that proves that. That looks almost identical to the maps we have today, which we've done with satellites, that somebody actually did back then. And we're trying to figure out what aided them to have that accurate of a map.
Oh, wow.
Because they found the map, and what they did was they put it on top of the map that we have now. And it fits in perfectly. That's what they've been
doing. Really?
Yeah, and see this landmass we're talking about that was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean was not called Atlantis. And we had this thing today. I was like, it's driving me crazy, man. It really is. When you start to look at the situation of, is it the lost city of Atlantis or is it the lost continent of Atlantis? Which one is it? And I said...
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Are you then saying that Atlantis was one big area but broken pieces?
No. We started talking about this before where I started going, I've done readings for people and started realizing there was these outposts to Atlantis where one was in Iceland, one was in the Bermuda Triangle. Well, Bermuda Triangle, as we call it, the tip of Florida, which is actually more the Gulf of Mexico. There was one in China, one in Florida, and one in Australia. It was a sixth one, too. Every time I see it, I keep seeing more close to England. But we talk about UFOs and stuff hitting the water, and I was wondering, well, why would they go into the water in the first place? I mean, what's the point? They don't need to hide because we see them all the time.
Right, they're out there, yeah.
So the theory was that these outposts of Atlantis and even Atlantis itself still exist. And we could say aliens are visiting them, or could we say they're still active with their own space travel and the whole bit and that kind of stuff, and that the pyramids and the face on Mars we saw, it wasn't from alien, it was actually Atlantean technology. Because actually the pyramids in Egypt have actually been associated with the cluster Orion. And also when you do look at the pyramids on Mars, they also line up the same way. Orion.
Oh, really?
Yes. And
that's pretty cool.
First theory we would come up with is the ideal Atlanteans traveling. And then the second one was the ideal that maybe what we're seeing here is the origin of where the aliens came from. Now, it's been proven that there were alien races that were coming in to Atlantis. So I was sort of like, what I was getting at was when you look at the situation, you see the waterways coming in. And then you have the bridges. Where are the bridges going?
Where are they going, right?
Yeah, they're going to the spaceports.
Oh.
So when we look at Atlantis and say, okay, because I was sort of talking about this today, too. When we look at Atlantis, and they were talking about these runways in Peru and the symbols on the surface out there where you can only tell what they... Yes, the ones that you can only tell...
The lines, yeah.
Right. The lines, and they look just like runways. Well, the theory was alien runways. I'm sort of going, hold on for a minute. Let's think about this for a minute. I got caught up in it for a minute, too, until I started thinking about it. Every time I see something... Now, they had a special on this. It was kind of cool because they were actually in all kind of cultures and paintings and stuff. There was actually a couple over in Europe in churches and stuff. Whoa, the cat's here.
That's my dog.
I was like, cat does not like this subject. I'm telling you.
She's 4 pounds. Can you believe it?
Whoa. But there was actually pictures and paintings and churches. They had these things up in the wings of paintings where if you look at the paintings, you can actually see spacecraft in the background.
Oh, cool.
And they were saying aliens. I'm sort of going, no. That seems like to me like we have right now when we first started our space program.
Right.
It seems like, to me it sounds like the start of something. Not somebody would want to travel to this planet to start thinking about space travel.
I didn't look at it that way. That's a pretty good point. Well, this was a great reading. Thank you. Wow, thank you for spending so much time with me. I appreciate it. I didn't know that I was all part of Atlantis, but that's pretty cool. I had no idea. Hello?
I said, I think if you look at the situation of Atlantis, I think you'll look at it different now when you see pictures of it.
Yeah, I never thought I was part of that, so that's pretty cool. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Have a great evening, and thank you again.
Do you have any more questions before you go?
Can I ask just a normal question?
Is there such thing as a normal question?
A non-Atlantean question.
Okay, here you go. Sure, shoot.
Why? I have a question. Yes. Why? Why am I always being held back at my job? Why am I not? What's the real reason behind me not being promoted? That's my question.
Okay, no problem. Tune in next week. No, I'm just kidding. No, seriously, the biggest thing I get with that is the idea of focusing on you. And the thing I keep seeing there is the idea of divine timing and your intentions. And I also get the impression of a little bit of fear. Fear of prosperity.
From me or from them?
No, you. See, you have to think about one thing, about your environment reflects who you are.
Mm.
I'll just say it. Take a look inside. Take a look at the situations and ask yourself, could you be scared? Not the idea of scared of failing, but just scared of success itself. I always tell people, go look at your family. Are you scared to succeed your family? A lot of people look at me and say, why would I be like that? Take a look again. I've had so many people come back to me and go, you know something, that was crazy. I just realized that the idea of outdoing my family, even though they've been jerks to me my whole life, was a hard thing to do, to put them down. Because I always felt like I knew when they were putting me down, they were just basically talking about themselves. And there was a fear there to make him feel even more belittled. So they didn't go any further with their careers. But once they realized that, there was a new beginning for them. And they actually, they see the brighter side of the whole thing of, succeeding and getting and going way more than their family did, but was also able to give back more. Because you're a great manifester, and the idea of not being any further than what you are right now, it would be kind of baffling until you take a look inside and ask yourself, what kind of fears do I have? Some people actually have the fear of success and failure at the same time. Like, what happens if I succeed and they throw me back down in the freaking beginning? Whoa. I'm always think about it.
I think I do have that fear because I've seen too many people in the same position where I'm at.
Right.
Be promoted and then drop down below to what they were before. So I think that is an issue with me.
Well, I'm just saying, with the situation, take a look at it real hard and ask yourself, you can get there. I just feel like once you get there, I see you looking. It's almost like turning the page here, turning the table on these people. We're going to bring you up and then drop you down, and you say, nope, you got me up, and I'm out of here. I'm taking everything I learned from you guys and taking it somewhere else, which is called self-employment. See ya.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm working on. Exactly.
So?
Yeah.
See, you got to look at the other people who actually went up and fell back down. They never thought past going up.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
So you have a plan. You see yourself way more than this company.
Yeah, I'm thinking beyond today and then beyond tomorrow. Absolutely. Yeah,
oh,
I want to.
A movie? Beyond? Oh, that's it. Buzz Lightyear, sorry.
Sounded good, though, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, I am working on getting up and getting out. That's true. So I'm kind of collecting all sorts of things and knowledge right now to my
advantage. I can hear everybody out there going, how do you know that? It's a psychic show. Okay.
Well, you hit the nail right on the head. So. Yeah.
Thank you. So, Bree, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
So do you have anything to add to that, or are you just taking it all in?
I'm just taking it all in.
All right. No problem. I just want to make sure, I just want to ask.
Well,
I've seen you come up with some pretty incredible things, too. So.
Well, we've traveled a lot of centuries, so there's a lot of ground to cover.
Yeah. Yeah, Bree, you listening? You've traveled a lot of centuries, okay?
Wow. Okay, so I'm going to focus on myself and move up and out. I think that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Alrighty?
Yes, thank you so much. Very, very insightful. I appreciate that so much.
If you want to get another one of those things, just give me a call. And like I've been telling everybody, look at your budget, make me an offer that I can't refuse.
Okay.
I don't refuse anyway,
well.
I'm just saying. I told everybody, as long as you don't come to me and say, hey, how about a dollar? Come on, that's insightful. So,
yeah, I agree. Thank you, though. Thank you.
Seriously.
Yes, sir.
Seriously, okay. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
You have a great night. Thank you. And you, seriously, really have a great night. And, so what was I going to say? You need to call us back and tell us what's going to happen here in the next couple of months.
Okay, I will. I'm on the big stuff. I will, definitely.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Have a great night. Bye-bye. All right. So, I'm sorry, guys. It kind of like when we went back to Tuesday, more insights of Atlantis. So, what'd you think, Bree?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Come on. No, I'm serious. I've seen you do some incredible things, so that's why I always ask.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
No, you're welcome. So we only had one person in the queue when she was here, and it must be everybody struggling in because now we have another person in the queue, and we have one more. And we're here until midnight, guys. So give a call in here. The number is 646-721-9031. And I'm going to throw in here some information into the chat room, how to get a hold of me for private readings, which is area code 740-601-9835 or 740-601-1057. Or contact me through my website, which is www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. And we'll go over real quick with the situation. If you want to get some HemiSync CDs, HemiSync, I had to say it right, HemiSync. These CDs, they have CDs for about anything and everything you think of, meditations, and connect with your angels, your inner self, for cancer, spirituality, dreams, sexual problems, or maybe you don't have no sexual problems. Well, I mean, it's a high sex drive or a low sex drive. They got CDs that help you with about anything you can think of. So contact them at www.hemi, that's H-E-M-I, hyphen sync, S-Y-C-Y-N-C, .com. Or you can contact them at, what's the number? Had it here a minute ago. Here we go. 1-800-541-2488. Again, that number is 1-800-541-2488. It's in the U.S. and in Canada. Or you can call them straight through, which the number for that is 434-263-8692. That's HemiSync. So check them out. And there's also another company real quick. BrainSync is www.brainsync.com or contact them at 1-800-444-7962 or call them straight through at 541-488-7870. Then plus BrainSync has subliminal CDs, which are really cool because if you go on the website and check them out, and plus with HemiSync too, they have samplers that you can hear the music itself. It's really cool. And I think, I'm not sure about HemiSync, but I do know on BrainSync, you can buy the CDs for $14.95 a piece, or you can purchase a MP3 download for like $9-something and download it to your computer. And then you can get the music and the meditations a whole lot quicker. I have tons of these, you know, these meditations and stuff, and they're really cool, variations and stuff. So let's go. So therefore we go. And tonight we're doing past life readings and talking about past lives. And for some reason, Atlantis keeps coming up. So we just go with the flow. Call in 646-721-9031. Excuse me. Too much water. But we got to do that here because all the talking and stuff. I got to keep, you know, because I had a couple of times when I first started doing this show pre. I used to lose my voice before the show was over.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if it wasn't for a bottle of water, I'm telling you. Heck yeah! There for a while, I went through three co-hosts, and one of them actually got motivated from doing the show with me. She went off and did her own show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so, actually, I haven't talked about her in a while, but I think her show is still on television. she has a show here on Block Talk Radio. It's called Adored Angel Show. A lovely lady named God, I think it's Desiree. Boy, it's been a crazy night. She does angel readings and stuff. And I was sitting there saying, you know, contact her. I had the number here too. Yeah, Adored Angel. It's called the Adored Angel Show, and she has a website called adoredangel.yolasite.com. And if you want to contact her,
I think she's still doing readings and stuff. It's 818-200-7431. Check it out. Her shows, I think her shows are on every night at 8:30 Pacific time. All right. Let's see. Anything else? I think we covered about everything. So right now we're talking about a lot of stuff. With I'm trying to get those books, too. I have a friend of mine who has a book. I think it's called Memoirs of Atlantis. Her personal account of being an Atlantis as a child. And it was a good book, so I'm going to try to get that information, too, out to everybody. The lady, she's been on the show a couple of times, Candy O'Donnell. She has a show called Literacy Scribes. I've been on her show, too. And so I'm going to go back on there not here in the near future because we had some problems with that's when my computer got busted.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to sit there and only got to do about 30 minutes of the show. And she said she's going to do a two-hour show and bring me back. We could do a two-hour show and talk and stuff. And also, I was going to sit there and say, hey, guys, want to check me out every day. Well, a couple of days a week are going to be on blogtv.com. So check that out. It's at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's a cool show because I'm in it. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, well, I'm not really kidding, but I'm just saying it's a format we just started trying. And right now, I'm usually on Ustream, too. We're usually streaming this show, but we have some technical difficulties with a lot of things, so I haven't had time to go back in and bring it back up. But it's one of those things where you go to the show and it says Radio Ustream page. You go on there, there's a screen, you click on it, and there we are. So check that out, too. It's Ustream. And blocktv.com. You can, and it's easy to find me on each one of those sites because it's easy as looking for Psychic X Journeyman. So there we go. And welcome to our next caller, 720. You're on the air. Welcome to the show. And how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. What's your name?
Cheryl.
And say hello to Bree, my co-host.
Hi, Bree.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good.
Good. Good, good.
So, Cheryl, how can we help you tonight?
I would love to have a past life reading.
Me too. I'm always doing them all, so I never get a chance to get one myself.
You get to do all the work.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy too. When I was in Colorado, I actually got a... And I always recommend this, too, if you want to check it out and do something, you know, on your own.
Uh-huh.
Some personal issues. Doreen Virtue. If you go to Doreen, I think she has a website, too. Or
oh, I'm sure she does.
On HayHouse.com. Or if you have one of her books, you can go on the back, go in the back of the book and get this. It's called, it's a CD that you can actually use as Past Lives. A past life meditational CD.
Okay.
And I actually had the CD myself. And I was kind of like, you know, I'm kind of skeptical if I can actually do this by someone just, you know, a CD and then helping you go through the whole thing. And it was just one of those things of going with the guidance and preparing myself for it. And I actually was able to do it 3 times.
Wow.
So I was always asking myself, why do I always want to save people? Well, actually, in a past life, I was actually a knight in shining armor. I was actually a guard, a bodyguard for one of the pharaohs.
Wow.
And it was kind of funny. It was a technique to use where you focus on a meditation. You can do this yourself. Where what you do is you close your eyes and kind of go and relax yourself until you can actually see a nice hallway. And the hallway has doors. And each one of these doors has a date on it. And it's usually, some people have a tune when they first start doing it, they focus and bring up where each door has a year on it.
Uh-huh.
And I had a tough time with 1029 BC. No, actually, I'm sorry. It's 1029 AD.
Uh-huh.
And always had a tough time with that door. I knew there was something about that whole thing, and I was supposed to go there, but was never able to open that door. And it just shows that some lifetimes we do have things that we just don't want to deal with, or have had some traumas there that we don't want to relive, which can actually be reliving themselves right now in this lifetime.
So you still haven't figured it out? You haven't been through that door yet?
No, but it's a powerful door. I've seen it a couple of times, and it's just, you know, progression. So with the situation... And I keep getting 1812, you were a soldier.
Okay.
And that's kind of vague, huh, guys? You want some more? That'll be 1995, okay? No, I'm just joking. let's see. No, I'm seeing the one thing I... Sometimes when I do past lives, I get a lot of pictures. So it's the idea of trying to describe them and put them into place. So when I see 1812, I see a lot of war. I see a lot of battle scenes. I see a lot of water, and I see a lot of ships.
Okay.
I get the impression you were also a descendant of Cornwallis.
I don't even know who that is.
Colonel.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
If I'm not mistaken, George Washington defeated him in the Revolutionary War.
Okay.
You lived to 1829.
Not very long.
Well, that's after the war.
Yeah.
I get the impression you were in your early 20s when you were in the war. I also see you. I see that you served most of your time on a ship.
Okay.
The way it comes to me that you went through a lot of crap, a lot of war, you know, a lot of mishaps and that kind of stuff, and never got killed. I think you might have actually lost your ball because.
Okay.
Okay. Let's rephrase that. Rephrase it one more time. You lost your leg because of a cannonball.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of garbled that one up. all right. So, now see what I'm saying is, it's the idea of going through these mishaps and getting through the war and that kind of stuff and think, okay, everything's cool, everything's great. And then in 1829, you were actually robbed and beat to death.
Wow.
Which seems like in some ways you really have a tough time. You're constantly looking over your back, over your shoulder.
Okay.
Do you have that problem where you have a tendency that you don't trust anybody with your back?
Pretty much. It takes a long time to trust anybody.
Mm-hmm. What the heck was that?
we're dog sitting, and she just ate. I don't know what she's doing, crying or what.
She had the cat.
Great
now
dog.
Dogs.
Yeah, I think it's an animal night.
That's what I'm thinking. It's Wild Kingdom. Welcome. That one cat, no, seriously, the last lady was on her cat. I was like, wow. I'm like, whoa. What the heck?
No. I did hear that.
Yeah. That was a crazy situation. So, no, I just feel like that lifetime in general has a lot to do with a lot of things that are going on in your life right now. So
okay.
It's like looking at the situation that some of your fears really stem back far. But it's the idea of also understanding that I always tell people when it comes to people's lives, what we're seeing here is we're seeing shadows of the past, of things that have happened. So they're not real. So you should be able to take a look at that whole thing and trace the phobias that you have and realize that there's no sense of hanging on to them since those situations don't exist anymore.
I guess it's hard when you don't really know that's why you're hanging on to, or that's the reason that you're that way.
Yeah, because there was a lot of anger with the idea of, you know, getting through the war and that kind of stuff and thinking, nice, cushy life. And then someone decides to take something from you, which not just your money, but your life, too.
Yeah. So when you're doing the past life meditations, the problem I have is progress, I guess. I mean, I can imagine things, but I don't ever feel like I'm getting anything. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Well, see, what the biggest problem I have with people right now is some of them are just too, you know, they're just too logical.
Okay.
So it's the idea of getting down that, you know, going through. Sometimes it could take almost an hour and a half to do a past life reading because, or a past life regression, because of relaxing and getting past that point, stop thinking so logically. What I do is I sit down with people, and I like to do more of these past life regressions. What we do is we use Archangel Michael and use Archangel Raphael to hold your hand to take you back to certain points in time. But what you have to hold in your intentions are, is that what kind of, it's like, what is it? There's a certain kind of phobia, certain situation or certain thing that you do or a habit or something like that. You have, those are your intentions. You hold on to those things, which will actually lead you back to a part in your past life, in past lives, and take you back to that one point after you get to that lifetime of finding out why you do certain things. You see?
I see. I see now.
You're definitely part of Egypt culture too, as well. Hmm. New Kingdom.
New Kingdom.
1976 BC. Yes, people, it did exist. Not just 1976 is a bicentennial, but it also existed back in Egypt. Now go look. I mean, Egypt was around a lot. You know, the empire of Egyptians were very quick. And I said, my biggest thing about the whole thing too is after Khufu died, it seemed like the Egyptian empire kind of started declining. I mean, it had a couple ups and rises, but it was never as big as it was in the Old Kingdom.
Hmm.
And I think the reason is because most of the influences that motivated them to do what they did were Atlanteans, and those Atlanteans eventually, the last generation with Khufu was gone. He had sons, but he wasn't able to pass down his abilities and how to use them.
Oh.
If you said, seriously, I mean, people go, well, you know, they should have knew, right? Well, how about a lot of us who come into our psychic abilities? Yeah, we had those abilities at one time. But it wasn't until a situation or someone crossed our path to point them out to us.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure if we would have had someone to teach it, we would have learned them a whole lot quicker, but we didn't. And I'm not saying his sons and stuff didn't do some things, but if you sit here and look at the pyramids, you know, why didn't they, I mean, these are the sons of Khufu, why didn't they build pyramids the size of his?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've never seen anything that really clarified that for me of why the Great Pyramid was built the size it was, but I did see some visions of Atlantis where there's, and like the palace itself is on a mountain, like you have a, you know, everybody's seen the circles and the channels and that kind of stuff, and the palace is right in the middle of it. But the picture the palace 10 times bigger than the Great Pyramid, but being flat at the top. Also with the situation of having underground caverns, that they were, like they had a city underneath the city, in case there was these freaking catastrophes happening, because, you know, actually, I'm trying to get my friend's book. You can actually get it on I was going to say eBay. No, not eBay. what is that freaking? So, what is that site on the internet? I just went blank.
Amazon?
There you go. Thank you.
Okay.
On Amazon.com. It's called The Memoirs of Atlantis. And I'm saying, you know, sometimes I had that here too. I really want to find the information because it's a really good book, and it talks about the three great falls of Atlantis. And the reason I thought it was very fascinating is because it's her account as being a child and living in Atlantis. And she told me she told me last week when I was actually on her show that from the visions. And these the visions I was picking up when I was doing these past lives and stuff and all the things I'd seen with Atlantis actually helped her to fill in the missing pieces for her book.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I told her, I said, where's my royalties?
Yeah, really.
And she started laughing. I was there going, no, that was one of those things. I just felt like just a privilege to actually be able to do that for her. What the hell? Sorry, guys. Sorry. That was weird. I'm getting used to a new phone. Anyway,
oh.
I was trying to find that information because it's right here. Okay, hold up. Sorry. But, shoot. I have so many stuff in this one book because I was talking about, you know, some people don't realize that when you look at the ideal of Ramses and Moses, people don't realize that you have to do the history on that because there was actually four pharaohs named Ramses.
Uh-huh.
It was actually Ramses IV was the one who was supposed to have the encounter with Moses.
Okay.
So, you know, when you sort of look at those kind of things and look at situations, my biggest problem with Atlantis was when I was looking at all the information and stuff like that, I'm looking at the thing going, you know, they're close, but they're still a bit off. There are certain things that are still influenced by the 21st century and the 20th century.
Yeah.
Of intersecting in these situations because, you know, people can't imagine a culture that would be so far advanced, like, you know, technology. Without cell phones and televisions.
True.
So I was like, you know, no, take a look at the situation and say, if you were a civilization with great telepathic abilities, you wouldn't need cell phones.
True.
The idea of having a powerful imagination and visualization, you're focusing on manifesting your life the way you want it to be. If you think about people today, if they would take that 10 hours a day they watch television and focus on the manifestation skills, where would they be at now?
A lot farther than they are.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's what I would say, too. I was looking at the whole thing myself and freaking out and saying, you know, why can't I find that book? I've written down so many things here lately, so it's like trying to do the whole thing. There's also a site, too, where you can look up stuff about Atlantis, which is actually the unmuseum.org.
It's called what?
It's called the unmuseum, or the, it's actually UN museum, the unmuseum.
Okay.
.org. Let's see, what is tonight? I'm thinking, hey, Bree, are you with us?
Yeah, I am.
Do you know if Amy's having a show tonight?
Well, I went on her Facebook page, and it says that she's on air.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, well,
okay, the book is called Past Life Memoirs of Atlantis.
Oh.
Okay, it's by a lady named Candy O'Donnell. All right?
Okay.
It's a good book, and I, you know, recommend you telling everybody about the book. And also, she has a show here on Blog Talk Radio called Literacy Scribes. Her name's Candy. Oh, actually, it's actually Candace. I'm sorry, Candace O'Donnell, but I call her Candy. Sorry. She's really helped me out a lot with a lot of things.
O'Donnell.
Yes, O'Donnell. Let me spell that for you.
Yeah.
D O N N E L L. Might be more than there might not be. There might be only one in. Try both.
Okay. I'll try that. All right.
I feel like there's a lot of connections. Okay, we were focusing on your time and that kind of thing. But with a lot of work and stuff, I guarantee we, you know, the idea of tracing it back to Atlantis and that kind of stuff would not surprise me any.
Well, not everybody goes back to Atlantis, right?
Well, no, they don't. But there's a lot of people who do a lot more than you think, and it's the idea of thinking about it.
Okay.
There are some people who don't because of the lifetimes and that kind of stuff. There's a lot of people who didn't start their lifetimes and until after Atlantis existed in the first place.
Oh, okay.
And that's basically the thing goes where when I've focused on it, the idea, it was like, they say 9,000 years before Plato. I keep getting 11.
Yes. So but we also have to look at the situation of some of the Atlanteans were actually 9,000 years old. So then we have to think about, okay, how long was Atlantis around before it disappeared too? Because we were talking about, like I was telling the last lady I was talking to, where I was sitting looking at a lot of things with runways and technology and finding little statues with little goggles on, and they look like astronauts and that kind of stuff, and people saying alien astronauts. I'm sitting going, how about Atlantean astronauts?
Yeah. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, because my theory is, if you came from another freaking planet, you would not be in the beginnings of your flight. You would not
yeah.
be in the beginnings of space. You would not have primitive goggles. You would not have spacesuits. You would not have all these things. Because, first of all, we have things, too. There's certain technology that I've found that accounts of talking to people, you know, aliens and that kind of stuff. And a lot of times when you get those mixes, we were talking about this before, where I was looking at the situation of alien races intersecting in Atlantis. When I've actually seen, like, Romans and Greeks and that kind of stuff, and they saw these great people that they took as gods, when they wasn't gods, they were just able to use certain glands in our body that we today kind of look at and go, what do I have that gland for? And back then, they knew what it was, exactly what it was for. It was the ideal of taking and distributing energy in different ways, and they used the organs to do that.
Hmm.
They say the gland in the brain, if you meditate and focus and work with that, it actually stimulates psychic ability. And the more you work with it, the more it stimulates the brain. Which then we start tipping on the idea of telepathic, ESP, those kind of things. So
yeah.
Starts making sense. That we're actually tapping into things that we used to do as Atlanteans. Because, you know, with the situation of coming back in lifetimes and other lifetimes, the ideal of the human body itself, you know, has progressed from the time of Adam. But some of us who are, you know, but the spirit itself has been around for way before that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, guys. It's like the first 3-hour show we've done. we usually do them on Fridays and Saturdays, but we haven't done them during the week for a while, so.
Turn back up again. All right, well, thank you so much.
Hold on.
I'll just say, I feel like you had a lifetime in the New Kingdom, and then I got the idea of Atlantis, but I get Atlantis the second, there was three falls of Atlantis, you were in the second.
Three falls?
That's what they call it. That's what I'm saying. If you get a hold of this book by Candy O'Donnell, it talks about that in there, about the three falls of Atlantis.
Oh.
And I was sitting there going, is it kind of funny that we have the three falls of Atlantis, and then we have the three kingdoms of Egypt and their empire?
Oh.
This has been a proof of fact, too, that the Egyptians used to wander the desert. They were wandering the desert for eons. And then all of a sudden, they just rose up.
Wow.
Started building these, you know, they built this great empire. And I sit there and looked at the whole thing, too. It does seem, you know, to me, it's kind of uncanny that after Khufu died and in his reign, that the Egyptian, their kingdom and their culture and that kind of stuff was still great, but they seemed to falter after that. And we had the theory about why would people look at a pharaohs as gods if they wasn't able to exhibit any god powers. The guy puts a hat on. Ooh, he's a god. Thank you. No, I think it was in the beginning of the Atlantean, well, Egyptians, when they, so you got Egyptians and you got Atlanteans. So in the beginning, the pharaohs did exhibit great powers. And then, after after generation of generation, they got that position because of how they were in the first place. I mean, if you sort of take history, you trace all kinds of history, and people say, "Well, that's kind of crazy." But yeah, also Homer used to write books about Troy, and everybody thought Troy was a mythical place too, as well. I guess
yeah. We
found it. It kind of makes the whole thing, and then we start realizing there wasn't just that one. There's other cultures. I consider and go on about Camelot. Camelot wasn't called Camelot per se, but the Round Table
right.
did exist.
Hmm.
And the ideal, have you ever seen the King Arthur? I think it's actually called Arthur with that one dude in it. The recent one, where we have Arthur and his friend. What was his name? Sir Lancelot. They were actually buds. They were almost the same age. It wasn't like you've seen with don't get me wrong, Sean Connery did a good King Arthur and Richard Gere, Sir Lancelot, but there wasn't 10 or 12 years between the two. They were friends. Actually Sir Lancelot did die in the ideal defending King Arthur. But this is all, and what's so funny about that, it all happened before he was King Arthur. You know, in the movie it talks about service to Rome, and that, to me, when I saw that movie, rings more truer than any other description or any kind of portrayal of Camelot, and that's what it was all about, because he did go on later on, and him and, what's her name, the girl, sheesh. I had it right on the tip of my tongue, too.
I don't think I've seen that one.
No, I'm just saying, in King Arthur, who was his wife?
Guinevere?
There you go, thank you. They actually married. They were actually married to each other before he became King Arthur.
Oh, okay. Well, they never do anything right in the movies.
Well, the one movie I saw was close to the same thing, because King Arthur was, Arthur was a very passionate person, always looking out to save the world. And did a really good job of it.
Well, that's good.
But the round table is a big concept of saying that no one's better than anybody else. And what's one of those things that he felt like if you could see the person across the table, that you would take in consideration of that person's feelings. Because you, after being in that kind of concept all the time, you would know each other very well.
Yeah.
It's a way of it's a way of working together as unity, but also watching at each other's backs, because there was a sense of we know each other, you know. So that was that cool thing.
Yeah. It's hard to come by now.
It is, but it's one of those things that you that many lifetimes. So look at the situation. Have you even studied some things about Camelot? And there's actually been a thing about Merlin. Merlin wasn't a person. Merlin was a position.
Uh-huh.
So if you became a great wizard in Camelot, you were considered Merlin.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, but king is a symbol of position. That's what Merlin was.
Yeah.
Was a position in the court too as well.
Hmm.
Any other questions? I don't feel like answering anything else. But with the situation of Poland and doing that, because I feel like you were also a part of the Camelot too, as in the castle and the city. Now, what are you going to call it? A village, a town, or I don't know really what you'd call it, but a gathering. I'm
okay.
Just saying. It's like you're not part of the royal court, okay? But you were part of the everything there, because we were talking about Atlanteans. Atlanteans, there was positions to be filled for government and that kind of stuff. But when I see everything, everybody's on the same level. So if you're a person,
okay.
If you're a person that cleans rooms, that person who was, so we have a person here who was in the Senate or what, you know, however you want to put it. They communicated just like anybody else would. There was positions and there were jobs and that kind of stuff, but they wasn't considered like today, you know. today it's off the freaking scale.
Yeah.
People off the rock. I mean, look at the president. Why do we give the president so much protection?
Yeah.
Did everybody ever think that maybe the idea of giving so much protection actually endangers him maybe more?
Yeah.
As a challenge to shoot the man?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's like Abraham Lincoln did very good around the war and everything like that, and never had half the protection that presidents do have now. And sure, everybody could say, well, he got shot.
Yeah.
But it only happened one time, and it happened... One time, but it also happened way after the fact of the war. It was just one fanatic who got through, but it was one of those things that wasn't planned out, really. It wasn't. So therefore, since we had this sporadic thing about, you know, we know what they're going to do, and it's so organized, that's how the man got through, because it wasn't organized. It just, no one ever saw it coming. And even if
you
see the situation, even the people he was working with really thought it was appalling to do it. Go on the Discovery Channel and check out some other stuff. Jesse James wasn't shot in the back of the head. He never died. He was actually robbing trains and that kind of stuff and saving money. And they actually found this stuff, too. I was actually watching this stuff about certain things, and it's in the mountains. I can't remember.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to place this thing. But this guy did a lot of archaeological stuff. And found symbols and stuff relating to Jesse James and his brother and that kind of stuff. And the way it went, Jesse James was shot in the back of the head, and supposedly the state that he lived in, the governor actually commissioned it to happen.
Oh, really?
Yes, but what was so funny about it was, after Jesse James got shot, his brother was still on the run, and then in later years, his brother was captured, and all of a sudden the governor pardoned him. Why these people were so bad and they wanted to take care of him, why would the governor pardon the guy? And then the eyewitness account said that he was shot in the back of the head. But in the accounts of certain things, they actually had pictures of the body inside the coffin, and there was blood on the forehead. Like he had been shot and then went down and got blood on his coffin. Because they buried, I think he was actually buried in the same shirt. So certain things about the whole thing, and people looked at him and said, that's not Jesse James, because Jesse James is a little bit slender, and most people say, well, you know, the body bloats, and okay, whatever. But they don't mysteriously grow a mustache, and their hairline goes a different way. that's a part of death, I promise you.
Not usually.
But so what they did was, he was in this organization, and what they would do is they would rob these trains and stagecoaches and that kind of stuff, and they would take all the stuff and convert it into gold coins. Gold $20 pieces.
Uh-huh.
They got it. So this guy got a hold of this story and stuff, right? Did the whole freaking thing. And they used to take him and put him in mason jars and bury him. And then he had maps and everything. Well, there was this one particular guy that people were kind of taking notice of in this civilization, that kind of thing. And it was really crazy, too. Because he was... they say it was uncanny, the resemblance of this guy.
Uh-huh.
They call it, and what's so funny about it, his name was, it was this guy's grandfather, and what happened was, they just did this too, and they took this guy, was like a great-great-grandson of this one dude, and they took a picture of Jesse James when he was younger, just like this guy was. If you see these two guys stand next to each other, it's freaky.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they take the bone structures and everything and put them together computer-wise, and they all match.
Wow.
The face and everything else. And this guy's name was John Jameson. His initials were J.J. Jesse
King.
So they were saying, let's take the theory a little bit further, right? And they said, well, this organization, that kind of stuff, what they felt. Like, they found the coins, and they found that this organization did exist and that kind of stuff, and maybe Jesse James was working for him. It was also a way of proving that he might have not died when they said he did, and he actually lived to be an old man. And so they started looking for these pieces and stuff. And this from all the stories and accounts like that, they found out where Jesse James used to hide out and where
uh-huh.
they saw all kind of stuff. And they started finding these symbols in the stone walls and the caverns and that kind of stuff. And they traced it back to this one place and started saying, okay, we got these places and that kind of stuff. They brought out metal detectors and started looking for these mason jars. Now, the one thing that kind of threw them off, they wasn't really sure they were going to find some money. But they did. They found a mason jar that had over 20 coins in it.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, wasn't there a show?
Huh?
Isn't there a show or was a show of people looking for Jesse James' treasure?
That's the one.
Okay.
And what they found out, he's working for an organization, which is basically to raise money so the South would rise up again. Also incredible, well, see, when they found the gold coins and traced it back and eyewitness accounts and that kind of stuff, and this dude that everybody thought was dead, could have been Jesse James, who actually died of old age, they started looking at the whole thing and started realizing there was a lot of candy things about the whole thing. Then they found the mason jars. Just like everybody said, the mason jars existed. They also used to say John Jamerson used to sit there and the guy never worked or never did much of anything. But they said it was kind of uncanny where he would sit there and we need money for food and this and that and the other. And he was like, okay, I'll be right back. And he'd go off, be gone for a while, and come back with all this money. Okay? And this is, people are talking about this guy. I mean, he was... people and all the people that were descendants of this dude, they're still around. He's the one's gone. But they had pictures of the guy, and that's when they put them all together.
Wow. That's interesting. So they're assuming that there was still a lot of money left.
There still is. But see, that was also the accounts that he was talking about, where he would sit there and go off and get the money. But these guys found a mason jar. They wasn't too sure about the whole thing, but the mason jars that they found placed about the time, the coins, $20 coins and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But when they found these coins, man, we're talking 1882, 1883, old coins, that kind of thing, worth a lot of money. The guy said it was more worth to him was the ideal proven that if Jesse James was doing this, some of the $20 pieces they found were actually done in 1882,
wow.
which was actually 2 years after Jesse James was supposed to die.
Oh.
So all the evidence and that stuff was starting to point toward that maybe Jesse James didn't die and went on the whole thing. The same way too with John Wilkes Booth was also another one that was actually almost proven that he never died in that barn either, because they said when they went after this guy. They went after John Wilkes Booth, don't get me wrong. But a bunch of people said that what was pulled out of the barn was a guy with dark hair.
Hmm.
And John Wilkes Booth had red hair.
Oh.
Or I've been the opposite, but the idea is different types of hair. And so you don't go into a barn and get smoked out and your hair turns black.
Well, I don't know.
Well, yeah, it's true, too. We've seen people who are scared to death, their hair turns gray. But
yeah.
They're going to shoot me, my hair turns gray, you know. But I'm just saying, with some of these situations, with things turning around, that kind of stuff, and looking at some of these past lives that I've done, I can definitely trace your life back to Atlantis, too, as well.
Well, that's interesting.
But like I said,
you'll have to do some reading.
Yeah, it's the second... Fall of, and what we talk when we sit here and talk about falls, we're talking about like we do here in our country, where you have certain things that go down, they go back up.
Uh huh.
So, you know, Atlantis is still there, just kind of crashed for a minute and then rebuilt itself. And actually, there's a lot of cultures back in the day when you unearth these things, you'll find that they have a tendency to build over top of one city and another
yeah.
city. So, when these things are devoured and that kind of stuff, they have a tendency to build over the same thing because, this is what they're familiar with. They don't
right.
look at the idea of catastrophe happening here. They look at the idea we're familiar with this and we don't feel like moving, or maybe it's a sense of pride or whatever. But the things I've seen with Atlantis and mass meditations and that kind of stuff, I've always seen as a very peaceful culture and very powerful. But also the reason they were so dead bit on balance was because they knew what they were capable of doing and didn't want to do that. It wasn't until after the fact, like people in Egypt, that helped the Egyptians do what they did, that some of these Atlanteans misused the Egyptians because of their power. And then, then you have some other Atlanteans who, I've done this with past readings, where they kind of look at the situation, they don't want to do nothing because they don't want to use those powers, because the way they misused their powers was they didn't say anything or do anything to the people that were doing it.
Uh-huh.
They felt guilty, so therefore that's why they didn't feel like using their powers and stuff, because they didn't feel like they were worthy.
Oh.
I misused it the first time, so I have no right to do this. So they didn't. So now when people come to the point of saying, okay, if that's the case, then how powerful are you? Very. And most of the people we come across and look at and things like that, what could you do? You know, when you sit there and kind of keep your abilities down and don't do nothing at all, it kind of makes sense that when you start thinking about it, because I was actually telling people about the book of, it's called Super Beings by John Randolph Price, and in that book, trying to find that book because I just had it right here. I just saw it. Weird. All right. Okay, I found it. Actually, in the back, it says The Ultimate Way. And what it talks about, like here, it talks about my faith, the spirit of living faith within me is strong, wise, and loving. See, faith goes, to take faith one more step is to know.
Uh-huh.
So it talks about calling forth the powers of strength, wisdom, and love. Where you tell yourself, I place my faith in the strength that I am. I am is God. I am. So basically what it's saying, and it's kind of funny how he does it. I am of the I am. And when you say that to yourself, you're basically talking about yourself too. I am of the I am.
Yeah.
So basically announcing, it's acknowledging that you are a part of God as well. We're all one and the same. You are an extension. I mean, some people, I tell them all the time, you say, you look at your kids. Do you look at your kids any less than you are? You don't even think about it.
Right.
You don't.
Right.
So you basically put, I place my faith in the wisdom that I am. Come forth wisdom into perfect expression. I place my faith in the strength that I am. Come forth strength. I call you into action. I place my faith in the love that I am. Come forth love and radiate forever throughout my being. Through the activity of faith, strength, wisdom, and love, I now embark on the journey toward Christhood. And it is so. So when you sit and look at these situations, they always say to get to heaven is to go through Jesus. But
right.
maybe it's the ideal of looking at the situation of him coming back to remind us who we were, which is what he was.
Yeah.
Which is what Adam was in the beginning. Oh, now we're getting somewhere, huh? But on the back part, back in the back part, it talks about contemplating each power center within you for several minutes, which is based bringing the power of God are your powers. They have been given to every man to help him come to himself. Make the exciting discovery of these powerful forces within you now. They are asleep and must be awakened. Spend time every day calling forth each one as Jesus called forth Lazarus. And then contemplate each power center within you for several minutes. And you'll see that. Because I was talking to people about this simple meditation where you're sitting there looking over things and you're going, basically all you're doing is you're sitting there focusing on the God essence, which is behind the heart, which is can be looked at as a pilot light. And as you're focusing on that, you're saying to yourself, I am love. I am love. I am love. I swear to you, when you start doing that meditation, just a simple meditation like that, you can feel the vibration going up. I can feel it radiating from my freaking from the bottom of my spine up to my freaking tip of my head. So you know, that's why I tell everybody when you do the meditation is to sit there and monitor those things as they go. Because if they're not doing that, then find one that works for you. But sometimes with situations of meditations, it could be simply taking it one step further, and maybe doing it a little bit longer until it resonates with you. And that's what I did with that one. So, go ahead.
I was just wondering, maybe that's my problem is that I don't do it long enough.
Yeah, definitely could be. Because people say, well, this is not working for me, man. I've been doing it for 2 seconds. You know.
I try to do it longer than that, but I either fall asleep or, I don't know, I'm
Well, that's what we always recommend, that when you really meditate. Now, there are certain meditations you can use. I also was talking about BrainSync. Actually, with BrainSync CDs, they actually have some CDs they say put the headsets on.
Yeah.
If you're listening to the music, if you fall asleep, falling asleep is good because your subconscious and your mind is wide open to absorb whatever is listened to it. It's even been said that a lot of guys have actually manipulated the situation by saying that they would tell girls that they love them while they were sleeping.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the energy would resonate with them, and they felt more connected to that person.
Hmm.
So it's vibrations, energy coming through a voice.
But do you remember when you wake up?
Well, when I sit here and tell people what I thought was amazing about HemiSync CDs, that's why I recommended it to Breathe, is because the way this thing stimulated my body to work as a whole.
Uh-huh.
And it said you had some certain things with you that you really needed the work, needed the body to work together as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
I think the idea of getting some really, how would you put this? You would really get a lot of results and maybe changes in your body, where there were certain parts of your body would actually be more stimulated. That it's almost like the healing has come to a point because it doesn't have a pattern to work with. But if you give it a perfect pattern to work with as well, and use the same thing with these energies and these tones, then the body would start stimulating those certain areas again because of we have a pattern to go by with, but there's also an additional energy coming from the perfect pattern too as well. And then you add a CD to it with the resonating tone. Then the brain stimulated even more, and then all of a sudden, we would say the rest of the body starts getting to a point where they start wanting to be a whole and working functional part.
Okay, maybe I'll try that and see if that helps.
Yeah, give it. Yeah, definitely gonna go. Like I said, in the Super Beings book, there's a section in the back where it talks about those power centers. The power centers are basically faith, strength, wisdom, love, will, authority, understanding, enthusiasm, imagination, order, and forgiveness, and life. Now you take all those and you place your faith in the truth, what the truth is. And then you say, I know that I am a son of God, created in the image and likeness of the Father, and I am now continually aware of who and what I am. I have come to myself, and now I comprehend the fact that I am a son of God, and I know that in myself lie all the powers of God. I'm a mastermind, and all the elements hear my voice and gladly do my will. Fear and unbelief have been bound, which have bound my will, have been caught and turned aside. Now my will knows no bounds, and I have but to speak, and it is done, and it is so. There's actually a part in the Bible where Jesus calms the storm. That's an example we're talking about. Having dominion over the earth. Not people, over the earth and the elements.
Okay.
What a dictator is a person who wants to dominate people.
Right.
A leader is one who's looking out for, not, and he's looking out for himself, but he's looking out as a whole for everyone. A dictator is only looking out for himself.
Yeah.
So you have to see the difference. So look at the situation of the world itself. What works and what doesn't work as a whole. Because what I was saying with the Atlantean, it was the idea of Atlantis is in the Mediterranean. That's the main palace. Everything's going on right there. You have lots of the water and that kind of stuff. When you look at, every time I look at crates too, I just see it there.
Yeah.
But I also see like Oklahoma, where they do that one shot with the camera where it's going out over the field and it just expands and expands and expands and expands. This is Oklahoma. Well, that's what I saw when I saw Atlantis, where Atlantis expanded out over the whole thing. We're talking about the magic carpet that they talked about in India could actually have been Atlantean machinery that they interpreted since they were people at that, well, they still are, people of cloth and Persian rugs and that kind of stuff. They wouldn't see it as technology, as something flying across the sky and stuff. They would see it as a carpet.
Right.
Which was actually technology that Atlanteans had, but
they didn't see it that way. They saw it differently. Crazy, huh?
Yeah.
And I was just saying, I was looking at runways and all this stuff they were talking about, that's alien. I always see it as Atlantean. More than I can, it sounds more practical to look at something that's from this planet of people evolving with space flight and flight itself. Just like we did experience at the beginning, because think about this, going through history on that one part after we left Atlantis, and then the last 100 years, we've actually progressed more than we ever have because of the energy sources that we've been introduced to. Before the 19th century, we didn't have those things.
Yeah.
We didn't have electricity. We didn't have, you know, but since those things have been brought into our culture now, progress has actually went quicker. Now, the reason in the last 10 years progress is slowing down is because all these greedy assholes out here who, well, we got to make money off everything. Not realizing
right.
that if you look at the situation of Atlantis, you know, they were looking at crystals. They were looking at solutions. And the solutions they came up with was the ideal of being one and the same and working with nature. And when you come up with those kind of things, and everything else has a tendency to take care of itself. So if you have an energy source, you don't charge people for it. You become a whole, and you work together, and you create an energy source that works for everybody, not just who just created the whole thing and he wants to sell it to everybody. Same thing with, because you look at the situation of society, how society is keep getting, it's getting more unbalanced because of putting money in a position it doesn't deserve. It's
right.
It's not a vehicle of power. It's an exchange. It's all it ever was. It's a spiritual concept to give and receive.
Mm-hmm.
But now it has a position. How did it get a position? Because of dumb people. Who
yeah.
are saying, well, money is more important than me. And they chase after it. And they have to have it all. They don't realize that the only reason they have all that money is because of what they have done. Not what it's done for them.
Yeah.
So it's,
I don't see that changing anytime soon, do you?
Yeah, I do. Everybody keeps
really?
Saying, what's going to happen? What's going to happen in 2012? People are going to they're getting tired of the whole idea of being raped all the time because of what they have, money.
Yeah.
That's the ideal balance and look at the situation. Because they said, it's basically in the Maya calendar, it talks about one ends and another. And this is one thing you hear about with a lot of people who really emphasizes on the end, but they don't emphasize on the beginning. And that's what it says in the calendar. One ends, another starts. There can't be a new beginning unless there's an end and a death to the old. So basically,
so
what we're having here is a
change soon?
Well, I think it's actually really heading there more than you like to think, and that's why I feel like because right now it seems like government and people in certain positions and kind of like that are really trying to hang on. And there's a certain amount of desperability about it. I'm desperate. I gotta do this. I gotta do that. We do this. We do that. When we know for a fact in the process of manifestations, that's just the nature of things. In the books, it talks about being nature. Being nature means the natural order of things. Once you allow those to be in a flow, then
mm-hmm.
manifestation will come easily.
Well, then I think a lot of people need to learn how to let things
true.
Flow easily.
But people have a hard time with it. I mean, the people I have problems with is the people you try to teach. You know what I'm saying?
What do you mean?
When you sit there and say, okay, you want to find a guy or you want to change things in your life, and you go, okay. Now, if you start working with your chakras and meditations and aura and
mm-hmm.
work on the spiritual concept of balancing, having balance between physical and the spiritual.
Yeah.
Some people just look at you and go, no, I don't hear about that crap. I just want to know if I'm going to be with a guy or not.
Right.
When actually what you're doing is you're giving them the tools to obtain what they actually want. But also showing them that how much they've been compromising in the past.
Well, and I know.
Go ahead.
When I listen to people talking to other people, they always tell the psychic, "Well, I'm doing that. I'm doing that. I'm doing that."
You're like, "Sure, you are." If that's the case, how come your life is not reflecting it?
Well, and so I don't know if they think they're doing it and they're not doing it or what.
No. Well, I had a particular friend of mine who was a part of my life for a period of time, and she was going through a spiritual awakening, but she felt like she had to say things and do things and that kind of stuff. And it was more of some people are doing it,
mm-hmm.
but what they're doing is they're thinking by doing the mechanics, then they're getting results. They don't realize it's a, when they talk about spiritual waking, it's the ideal of becoming, like when I talk about that one meditation I was doing where you sit there and you focus on the God essence behind your heart, which is looks like a blue pilot light, which is the
uh-huh.
essence of who you are. And it's also a reflection of when you say, I love, I love, I love, you're actually focusing on pure love, which is what God is, which is who you are. You also have the physical part, which is also on this plane, which are they're both here. So they have to have balance between the two of them. They can't have one or the other. Because a lot of people say, get rid of the ego, because the ego is going to control your life and that kind of stuff. And,
right.
Well, the ego is a part of the whole equation. So it's the idea of being, it's having balance. So the ego doesn't come in and say, well, you can't do that. The spiritual part is the idea of saying nothing, anything's possible. There are no impossibilities. But the ego has a tendency to go, and if you have your ego constantly denouncing or counteracting what you're hearing as to your angels and guides through the spiritual, that's an imbalance. So you have to balance the two out. So it's like the spirit will give you the messages and the know-how and the information that you need, and the ego is there. It's like fear. You let fear conquer you, or you can let it motivate you.
Right.
So that's what we're saying here with the situation of balance. It's just cool to put those two together. And when you have that, because when I do the meditation and focus, just a simple meditation of focusing, and you know, I tell people to focus on that spot, bow your head, close your eyes, and just keep saying to yourself, I love, I love, I love, or I am love, I am love, I am love. And I know when I do it, the first time I really did it and got into it, the more I did it, the more you could feel the vibration, but it was overwhelming because it was it was so positive. And that's what I tell people, you have to ease into it. And people think, what do you mean, ease into positive? That's the natural thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's part of the whole. But like we said before, too, if you take a person and you take the negative traits away, you have half a person. So they both work together hand in hand. I mean, it might sound crazy, but the one thing I tell people to do is, I can't remember what episode it is, but in the original Star Trek series, the old one with William Shatner and
yeah.
Leonard Nimoy, there was a part where Captain Kirk was beamed up on the ship in a storm. Well, his body and it's like he was split into two. So you have an evil part and you have the evil part and the good part. Well, what they've showed in that episode, which I thought was really good writing, was neither one could live without the other.
Oh.
They would die. The evil, it's like the balance between. And if you ever seen the yin and the yang, there's evil, there's good and evil, or positive and negative, but there's little specks, there's a little spot in each one of those things to balance it out. That's what we're talking about. It's like looking at the physical. The physical is the negative, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the spiritual is the positive. But even with current, electric current, you have negative and positive. They work together. If you only
right.
have one, you get barbecued. if you don't ground it with the negative, with the black cord, you have a red and a black. If you don't ground it, then you have a chance of actually having a backfeed. So, see, but when you balance the two out, and any kind of current, any kind of energy and current you have out there, there's always a grounding. There's a ground, okay? So when we meditate,
yeah.
that's what we emphasize on, too, in the sense of meditation, opening up spiritually and doing the work and that kind of stuff. But we also have the grounding techniques to go with it. We're working with energy here, so therefore grounding makes perfect sense to me. That
yeah.
when you do the grounding part, the messages are wide open. And they're also very clear. And if you don't, so basically we're looking at chakras as spiritual batteries, your aura, excuse me, it's a spiritual force field. I always look at it as the aura is an extension of the soul, which protects the physical. But you see how they all work together.
Right.
And when they're all balanced out, they, you know, most people you look at and go, that guy's got it great. And he's got all this, this, and this, and this. He's got great balance in his life. That's the point. He's got great balance in his life, so everything else has a tendency, once you get that balance, everything else has a tendency to fall in place naturally.
Hmm.
If you didn't get all that, buy my CD series. No, I'm just kidding. But
that's what you got to do, right?
Exactly. I mean, you know, when I come up with these ideas, my angel's going, did you hear what you said? A series, and that this and that and the other. So put it together. So we're trying to. But, you know, like I always tell people, good ideals, you follow them through, start thinking about it, sit down, get you a pad and pencil, and try to figure out how you can put them into, bring them into reality.
Yeah.
Because, seriously, think about it. Every manifestation that's come in your life, who brought it into reality? You did.
Yeah.
So therefore, you're the vehicle that brings your life into fruition. Until everybody understands that, then the ideal money will become obsolete because we'll be giving pure energy, giving and receiving pure energy back and forth. There will be no anything as we see it now because you don't need them. If you notice how man has a tendency to use certain devices, and there's certain devices that have a tendency to have side effects because they're not natural.
Yeah.
But when you go back to the natural, you ever seen somebody get cancer by communicating telepathically? No.
No.
Now cell phones, different thing. But
you're right. Well, so they keep telling us.
Well, it's one of those things too. A lot of companies, I just feel like a lot of people do those kind of things because it's like they don't know any better. They start telling people all kinds of stuff. I mean, like doctors. Doctors are the worst. You're going to die. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Now I'm going to get the hell out of here and go find someone positive. You know, it's. I mean,
yeah.
It's like, I mean, seriously, motivation. It's like, what are you going to do in those situations? Doctors can be good. They can be positive. Next situation, when you look at them, like, for example, I had a girlfriend that was very negative, and every time I said, let's do this, she said, we can't do that. That would motivate me to do it. To prove it wrong, okay?
Yeah.
So we can sit there and look at doctors and say they're bad, they're good. But we can also use each one of those situations, no matter how bad or good it is, to turn it into a positive, negative, motivational technique or tool or whatever. I mean, look at the doctor, say you're going to die. Nope, I'm living forever. Is that a possibility? I think anything, any kind of thought that can be conceived is a possibility. Because, I mean, I had a friend who had a theory on this, too. He said, if we're going to die, how come people keep telling you? Maybe they're telling you because they're trying to do you in. When the real possibility is, you don't. If you read the Bible even says you live forever. Some people have very.
Well, either you have to really believe it, or.
That's true too. But, you know what? I saw that the part in the Bible says when Jesus ascended into heaven, he was in physical form. There's actually two archangels. That were human at one time. That became angels because of striving to be perfect. And perfect doesn't mean, you know, you have a perfect body. It's more of a perfect outlook on things where everything happens just that way.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Any questions? I'm sorry. Have we hit you with too much?
No, not at all. I mean...
Well, thank you for being on the show today, because it was a great motivational tool and actually for all that stuff to come out as much as it did.
Well, thank you. Thanks for the reading. And you said you do mentoring too, right?
Mm-hmm. What? I'm sorry. What was the question again?
You said you do mentoring?
Yes, I do.
Is that on your website also?
Well, I put it under life coaching, I guess.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I tell everybody, give me a call, let's do some life coaching. I do relationship counseling. Because, you know, what happens a lot of times with the work I do, it always goes there in some shape or form. Well, even when I'm doing readings, I'm at the gym a couple of times. I'm just sitting there talking to somebody. Someone says spirituality or God, and next thing I know, I'm sitting there for 2 hours doing a session. They're going, wow, I never thought about it like that. Like, oh, shoot, I missed my whole workout. You know? But things happen for a reason. I'm trying to sit there and focus, and it's actually been proven more mentally than anything else. I swear it has. That they were talking about people doing martial art techniques, astronauts doing certain procedures, but what they would do is they were thinking these thoughts, and they would picture it in their minds. And what was so funny about it is the brain was reacting to the stimulation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and they also noticed the people who mentally went through exercises like the martial arts and that kind of stuff, mentally went through and practiced that way.
Yeah.
Were actually more successful in the physical sense when they actually got into those competitions than they was if they sat there and practiced forever physically.
Hmm. Because of their mental state?
Yeah. When we talk about meditation is the idea of letting go. And realizing that, like what I said to tell people, you meditate, it always says meditate and fast. See, fasting is not just a way of losing weight and clearing the body of toxins. It's also opening up the mind and realizing that we do take things in our bodies that are toxic to ourselves, but also block our abilities. That a lot of us have a lot more abilities, and almost everybody has abilities, just don't know about it because of what they put themselves through, as in sweets, chemicals, drinking Mountain Dew. yeah, I'm so
Red Bull.
I was wondering if Bree actually heard what I said. I'll say it again, Mountain Dew, but
Mountain Dew.
Yeah. So
we'll
you know but see, I was in Colorado, and when we were talking about the idea of angels working with you and pointing things out to you, I was in a situation where I was just not eating a lot. Basically 4 days, because I hadn't made any money with my business and stuff, and I didn't eat for 4 days. And my angel said, "Well, you need to look at the positive of everything." I was like, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, you've been talking about fasting, but you just didn't have the motivation to do it. Well, you just fasted for 4 days. How you feel?" You know. So I was sitting there going, okay, that's eye-opening. But see, I tried it again for 5 days, and I told a friend of mine, I took a shower, and I said it was the most eye-opening thing I've ever done, because I felt everything, sensed everything. When I did readings and that kind of stuff for about many days afterwards, it was just very insightful. Freaked you out. I'm serious. I was just looking at things going, I can feel, sense, and it just enhanced all my psychic abilities. So I was just imagining people who fasted and didn't realize they had abilities, what they would go through to actually take a shower and feel every bead of water hitting your body, and just the sensations that open, and to realize the sensations you were actually picking up. You know, seriously, when I breathed, the air just seemed more fresher, not because of any toxins in the air. It was toxins in my own body that was kind of interfering with all those feelings and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, we only got like actually 30 seconds to go, so I just want to thank everybody for being here on the show, and thank you, and we can still finish our conversation. I'm just saying I'm going to thank everybody, and may God and the angels bless you every minute, every day, and give love where love is given. And thank you all for being here. It's been a fantastic show, and thank you for all out there listening, that kind of stuff. And be with tomorrow, because it's called Free Angel Reading Roundtable Tarot Card Thursday. We're going to be going over tarot cards and actually showing you how the angels represent each one of the higher arcana. So thank you, and you guys all have a good night, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you. Bye.
And, yes, we'll see you later. Bye. I was like, I thought I said you could stick around. But, you know, hey. Well, I timed that one just right, because we just went off the air right that second.
Yeah.
So how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I don't know, man. That's 3 hours is pretty long, isn't it?
Yeah. That's okay, though.
You good?
Yeah.
That's great. All I was going to say to you was, what was I going to say? I'm thinking. You're going to be up for a while, aren't you?
Yes, I will.
Because I really want to sit down and
spend time with you. But I also wanted to, but there's this one website I want to work for about, I don't know, a little, I'm going to check it out. It's put that away and work for about 2 hours and catch up with you later.
Yeah.
Or do you need to talk about something right now?
Oh, what? Okay, what was your last sentence? Sorry.
I'm sorry, I said it really fast, didn't I?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I said if you really need to talk about something now, I'm all ears.
Oh, yeah, I'm okay.
I know you say that. Are you getting better? You're getting better about this, aren't you? You're telling me you are doing good. I'm not trying to be mean or no. I'm not trying to be insensitive. I swear I'm not. But we talked about this before, where you like to please people. So
I know.
I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody likes to be pleased, but at the same time, like I was saying before, if people don't tell us really what's up and that kind of stuff, we can't learn.
Yeah.
I'm totally honest with you. You are a very talented woman. You sure you mess up, but you catch them quicker than I do, so. I'm just saying, if you need to talk, just let me know. That's one website. If I make $100 by the 15th, I get a 10% bonus on top of that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. Thank you. I was just saying, I was sitting there going over the whole thing with my mom and stuff, and she had me down there with my brother's house. She said I need to get up, take a shower and that whole thing, and go down with her so you could help her move some stuff, because I guess they had some furniture or something on the next door neighbor's property, and the city was freaking out about it. I get down there and I didn't do nothing but sit there and wait till she figured out what she's going to do. And then when she did that, I still didn't do anything. And I'm like, I'm up here for 4 hours. And I said I could have been working, which she thought was going to be an hour. And then it all changed. I don't know, man. I wish these people would get organized just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I showed up here. Next thing you know, every time I turn around, I'm doing something for them. Like, I need help doing this. I need help doing that. I was like, what did you guys do before I showed up?
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't here to help you. But you seemed to accomplish those things anyway. And now you don't. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't. So what I was planning on doing, I was going to run over here, work on this thing for about, you know, an hour or so. And then I was going to catch up with you later and see what's up. Well, it was one of those things.
Great.
I just wanted to sit down and talk, okay?
Okay. Sounds good.
Is that the truth?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, cool.
I don't know what's wrong. Yeah.
No, go ahead.
Our lady is bugging me.
Our lady is bugging you. Who's our lady?
Yeah, the one that's attached to us.
Oh, you talking about...
Mm-hmm.
What's your name?
Charlotte.
I'm sorry, I went blank for a minute. Yeah, we're no longer on the air, so we're streaming, but the only way she'd ever hear this is if she actually went in the archives and listened to it.
Okay.
I'm not saying she wouldn't. I'm just saying. No, I understand what you're saying. She's, just emailed me. She emailed me. She said she's going to send me some money. She told me some things and that kind of stuff. And I was like, okay.
I know she asked me.
Sorry.
Who do I call? You or him? And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. No, she said and talked to me too, and it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it is.
No, I was thinking that's what I was going to say. I was going to work on this site for about a couple of hours and come and then talk to you later
kind of bring up the subject that I know she's looking for a lot of things and that kind of thing, but so I can try to motivate her to actually stand on her own 2 feet because she's really good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Try to figure out which way to go on that one. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, did that thing ever download that Dolby? I can't even say it.
Yeah, I did, and I got you.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried to go back in there and do that up again, too, but I thought it'd be a little more, you know, quicker to actually bring the chat room back up and the switchboard first. I don't understand why the switchboard looks the way it does, because this is the same switchboard you would see if you had a free show for 30 minutes. Because when you do premium, you have a part here where it's got, there's a little thing on this side where I can dial out and actually bring guests onto the show that way, or they can call in, whichever they want to, and there's a screening room. This one here doesn't have that.
Oh.
And it's supposed to have all those things, because I just got them paying for them.
Jeez.
That was irritating. Yes, it was irritating, I'm telling you right now. I was like, okay. I'm hoping that what's going to happen here is it's going to turn itself around. Edit, it says edit your error. Okay, that's a good thing on there. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking. I'm using Skype, so that's part of it. That is actually working. Because I don't think you actually have Skype on the other one, too, but I don't understand this switchboard thing the way it is. So maybe it'll correct itself. It's just telling me that I should get premium. I'm sitting going, you're advertising me to get premium. I've already got it. So I want you to give me what I got, and we'll be good to go, and stop the commercials. Stop the presses. I'm sick of hearing it. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to talk to you later.
Alrighty.
Okay, I'm sorry. I know, you know, it's one of those things where you just hang on to somebody and don't want to hang up, but some people have that effect on me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'd say you're one of them.
Oh.
And there's not many either. Right now, actually, there's you. So, and then... I do need to meditate too for a second too. So, like I can say, as I promise, I will definitely call you later.
Okay.
And if you want to talk before then, you're more than welcome to call me too.
Yeah, I'm doing all right right now. So, yep.
Okay, no problem then. I'll talk to you in a little while.
Okay.
Alrighty.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Hmm.